This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This program contains subject matter and language that may be disturbing to some viewers. Viewer discretion is advised.
Testing.
Hello.
Hello?
1, 2, 3.
Are we?
I think we're here.
Are we? I don't know.
Are we back?
Is it working?
I think we're back.
What?
Yeah, I think we're back.
Oh, okay.
We're doing it.
This is strange.
We're doing it again.
Yeah.
Did I lay it on too thick with those songs?
You did. But Dan,
one too many do it agains?
Yeah, I think the, I mean, the again was already there. You didn't need to again. Hey, hi, Mike.
How you doing, Therese?
Hey, try that one. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry, Therese.
Here we go.
Try this one?
Yeah. Oh,
should I put the foamy thing on it?
You're okay.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about being on the same side of the console as you, though. I gotta say.
You got a little console anxiety.
Yeah, it was always like a protective barrier between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that. Uh-huh. I liked that. Although I do have a clear shot to the exit.
There
so
you go.
So that's good. I got my sight lines.
But you got a bodyguard.
Pat Byrne?
Pat Byrne's here.
Well, he's on the other side of the console.
Yeah, but he's going to be part of the mix today.
Okay.
Yeah, a little different.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
It's,
well, thanks.
It's the reboot 2018, Depravity's Rainbow.
That's right.
What do we hear? We heard our theme song, of course.
Yes. I was really psyched to hear that.
Oh, yeah. No,
Hank Four.
Yeah, Hank Four, kicking it off. And we heard a little bit of Betty LaVette doing Things Have Changed from her album of the same name, where she had the guts to actually improvise some lyrics there. But now that we've got the new freedom, it was okay for tonight.
Love the new freedom.
Love the new freedom.
Bestshow.net.
And then we heard our little Do It Again set, kicking it off with Steely Dan.
Yeah.
From a decade of Steely Dan.
Oh, you went with the greatest hits.
Do It Again.
The album track.
I'm a greatest hits guy.
Yeah.
It condenses things, right? It gives you the best, right?
Yeah,
you
know, all killer, no filler.
Yeah.
You know, some say on the 40 Licks album, Rolling Stones,
mm-hmm.
you really only need like 8 of those licks.
It's true.
Well, they threw in some new ones, which isn't good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we heard the Beach Boys doing Do It Again from Sounds of Summer. And the Kinks doing Do It Again from...
The Kinks Chronicles?
No. Come On Dancing with the Kinks.
Oh.
It's got Better Days on it. I think that's why I bought that one. And then we heard... the last song was from Joe Strummer. Pouring Rain... It's an unreleased track from the new anthology called Joe Strummer 001.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
So, we're back, and, it's fun.
Yeah, I never thought that I would be sitting in this chair again. Or, well, in this configuration.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little strange.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was some popular demand for the show to return. By popular, I mean, you know.
I said okay.
The low 50s, probably. But I think people are excited that we're giving it a shot again.
Yeah.
And
I've missed you, Mike.
Yeah. We had a nice little thing going there, and we had some great shows. I hope this will be one.
Yeah, we'll see. You were ahead of the game on that Kasvod Voxt thing.
Yeah, you had to explain that.
Yeah,
to me.
I don't understand it either. It has something to do with Fish, the band, and a Halloween prank.
Okay.
But apparently they have a time machine, and we played that Fish song back in 2011.
Really?
Yeah. October.
I played a Fish song?
Yeah, right after the Grateful Dead. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
There's a playlist. There's a photo.
Right. Okay.
There's photo evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, they got hacked over there, and they...
Skew Patty Skyer. It's called Turtles in the Sky.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not a Fish fan. Yeah. I think a lot of people assume Grateful Dead fans are Fish fans, and there is a big crossover.
Well, it's filling a hole
there. For some people, not me.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually did give them a listen. I put them in the category of great musicians, bad songwriters, bad singers.
Mm.
So they only got like one thing going, which is like why they're, I think a lot of jam bands kind of have those two strikes against them.
They just like to
But that's enough enough for, that's enough for some people. You know, they wait for the jam.
And then they,
they do their thing, you know.
I'm doing the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing an impression of
the
thing.
Yeah, the twirling. I think they, well, I guess it's
well,
twirling
sitting
for deadheads. I don't know if the Fish fans had their own
fishing
term. Is that what they call
it? I don't know.
I don't know. I never went to a Fish show. Not a fan. And
I did.
Yeah, you went to? Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you
what a
see,
confession.
I know.
For a
I
guy? Am I thinking a guy?
No.
Was there a
nope,
guy? No,
nope,
no,
nope,
no.
Nope.
Okay.
All of my friends were going.
Oh, okay.
And it was like that or like hang out at home alone.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go see Fish at Waterloo Village.
And it was a party.
Yeah, it was
they had a party scene.
Yeah.
Just like the Dead.
Yeah.
You know? People would just go to the Dead shows. I think they didn't even know the music. And they knew it was going to be a party scene, so they'd just go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of that for you.
Yeah, I don't remember, like, the music. Well, I mean, it was, like...
endless jamming.
It went on and on. There was a vacuum cleaner involved at some point.
Oh.
I think they may have covered Purple Rain.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
They would do those full cover shows.
Yeah, they're just...
The White Album.
It's, like, they're too goofy. Mm-hmm. It's... Yeah, they're a novelty band. I'm gonna.
All right,
that's
yeah,
my opinion
okay
on Fish. They are
right
a novelty band.
I'll
they're
give
like
you
a,
that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the doing the full albums of different things and basically dragging whatever classic record they decide to do through the mud because you know the singing's going to be pretty bad. You know, maybe the music will be all right, but don't count on the singing to be anywhere near what the classic album was.
I feel like they're. All right. I don't like Fish.
I'm with
I don't
you
like Fish.
201.
Oh, right.
332-3484 if you want to call Depravity's Rainbow tonight.
Yeah, give us a call.
It's a fill-in for the Best Show. Tom is hopefully back next week. We can't
hopefully
make any promises, but his Tom Ronto continues for now, and we have a rumored report that he may be back soon. Whether that's next week or the week after, we have no official confirmation, but Depravity's Rainbow, if you're listening to thebestshow.net right now, that is your fill-in with Therese and AP Mike. And we're here taking your calls at 201-332-3484 or 201-DEAD-HUG, if you want to think of it that way. It's a spell-out acronym there. Not acronym, but what is it called when it's...
It is
an acronym.
Yeah.
It's an acronym.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't stand for anything, but no, I thought an acronym had to stand for something.
Yeah, I think so. Uh-oh. So this is a
like NASA is the National
Aeronautics. Mnemonic device.
Yeah. This is a mnemonic.
Yeah, okay. That I'll go with that.
Go with the mnemonic 201 dead hug. Your call is next. Okay. And the topic tonight, Mike.
I'm going to throw a topic out there. Signs of a decline. And I want to preface this topic that we're not going to go into politics. You know, the Best Show's always been an oasis away from that type of discussion, and I'd like to keep that going for this show.
Yeah, save it for dinner with your family.
Yeah, it's, you know, people are overburdened with it these days. So, signs of decline. I sort of got this idea from some recent experiences, a couple experiences at the bar, which, you know, unfortunately, that's I spent some time there. The first one, I see a lot of, I think I've been on the record. I'm not a big fan of cell phones. And
do you have a cell phone, Mike?
Yeah. Speaking of cell phones, this is a good one.
I mean, I didn't mean to derail you.
No,
but
this is funny.
Yeah.
Because I had a flip phone. It was given to me as a gift. And
you kept it in your car, right? And never turned it on?
Basically, yeah. I mean, okay. I was given the flip phone for that reason that, you know, if I broke down on the highway, at least I'd have a phone. And, you know, that's a practical reason to have a phone. So I had this flip phone literally 13 years. Does anybody have a phone for 13 years anymore?
No.
But I think it's finally dying. It's in its death throes.
Signs of decline?
Signs of decline.
Your cell phone?
But get this. Get this. I don't even have to buy my next phone.
Why is that?
I inherited a phone. My brother passed away in February.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. It's been one of the worst, another one of the worst years of my life. I keep, they're piling up. But I inherited his phone. And
is it a Motorola Razr?
No, my brother was tech savvy and way beyond my things. But he's got a nice phone, and I'm going to get. I hear the cheap plan is consumer cellular. I think that's the old people plan, and I think I'm going to get that.
Well,
because I think it's like less than $20-$25 a month. That sounds all right to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it's like you have your brother with you.
Yes. Yes.
That's yeah. Nice.
Yeah. No.
That's nice.
But it'll probably get me another 13 years that I don't have to buy a phone.
All right. All right.
So, anyway. I see people in bars, which, you know, I go to bars basically to socialize. I don't drink at home. You know, it's not like, I'm an alcoholic and I have to, get my fix during the day. But I go there to socialize. And, I've gotten to know a fair number of people from working as a bartender in Bayonne. And I can go into bars in Bayonne. Generally, I'll run into people I know, which is nice. And, have a nice conversation with people. But then I've noticed people showing up, guys. I haven't seen a woman do this. And basically, they'll spend the whole time staring at their phone. The whole time, not checking periodically, which I have no problem with that. People check in. You know, you want to check your phone once in a while?
AP
that's
Mike
fine.
Says it's okay.
It's fine. But it gives you time to socialize, you know? And I've seen at least two guys now, and it's not just generational. I saw an older guy do it, and then I saw a younger guy do it. And basically, they spent the whole time with their phone, didn't interact with one person the whole time. And left. That was it. So what was the point? I don't get it.
They got stood up. That's my theory.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. That's a good theory.
That's my theory.
I back that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's possible. But if you saw these guys, you might not think they had a hot date, lined up. That's just my opinion. Another sign of decline I've noticed. Are you familiar with the game Cornhole?
It's beanbags tossing type stuff.
Yeah,
And this I mentioned this to Mike off mic, but Mike off mic. That's the after show. But,
I thought it was like a knockoff brand of AP Mike. Anyway,
no, I mentioned that. Like, why is that game back?
Yeah, I don't know.
For a few years, it's like I show up to someone's barbecue and they're like, "Well, we're playing cornhole." I'm like, "Why? Why are we playing this?"
It's sort of a time waster. That I don't know. People don't feel comfortable just standing in groups. That they need to have some sort of activity going. I mean, horseshoes serve the function.
Horseshoes are fun.
Yeah.
Right. But maybe it's because horseshoes are made out of metal. And
clanging? They don't like the clanging
maybe
sound?
Maybe they don't like the clanging. And maybe they hurt if you get hit with one.
They are heavy.
Whereas a beanbag.
They are heavy. Yeah, it's a gentler sport. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And, I've observed it.
Kid-friendly.
I work at MetLife Stadium. And so when I go there for the football games, it's a tailgating staple. I mean, everybody, the perimeter of the parking lot is lined with these guys playing cornhole. What's disturbing to me now is that it's not just like hacky sack. Hacky sack was like a thing people did, at events.
At fish shows.
And devil sticks, yeah.
What's devil sticks?
It was right after hacky sack.
Oh, okay. I missed the whole devil sticks thing.
Yeah, it was like 96.
Okay.
It was right after hacky sack.
Somebody's going to write a book about, the origins of these things. But now, cornhole, which just the name is sort of disturbing to me.
Yeah.
It's getting more attention. It's on television now. As a legitimate sport.
Are there... Wait.
Yeah, no, hard to imagine.
Sponsorships or...
It's college.
Cash prizes?
I think there's professional...
Can you get a scholarship?
There's professional cornholers.
Can you get a scholarship
I'm going to use the word cornholers.
to play cornhole? Because you can get a video game scholarship. Can you get a cornhole scholarship? What's the phone number, Pat?
201-332-3484. That's 201-332-3484. And we have two calls on hold.
Okay. Oh, should we go to one?
Okay, we could do that.
You're on with Mike and Therese, Depravity Rainbow. Depravity's Rainbow, excuse me.
Hello?
Hi. Hello?
Are you there, caller? Caller.
Is he sleeping?
Caller?
We got a sleeper?
Caller? Caller.
Avalanche Bob, are you there?
Yeah, seriously. all right, let me try line two.
Okay.
Line two, you're on with Therese and Mike. That's Depravity's Rainbow.
Hello.
Hi. How are you, Mike? How are you?
Oh,
Therese?
Lori.
Is this Lori?
My iPod. There we go.
You have to ask.
Yeah, you know who it is.
I do. Hi.
Can you turn down the bad music just a smidge? It's kind of loud.
Okay. It's down.
It's down. Sorry, Lori.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. There's, like, so much I want to talk about, but I don't know how much you want me monopolizing the show.
Throw out one topic that you'd like to discuss.
Well, first, I just want to say if Therese remembers, this is real quick, the first time we met, because I do somehow.
Did we meet at WFMU?
No.
We didn't. We didn't meet at WFMU, and you were not wearing, like, some fancy rain boots that maybe had a pattern on them?
No, this was...
Do you have fancy rain boots?
You know, I mean, I might
no, I do.
Remembering.
Oh,
I think...
I do, Lori. I do. Oh, it's right there in my head. It's not coming out.
Iron Monkey.
Yes.
I was in the stairwell, and I said to you... I'm super drunk, and you're like, oh, do you need help? You need to eat something. And then I ate a pizza, so thank you.
Did it help? The pizza did.
The bad music is still kind of loud.
All right, I turned it all off.
Take it easy. Okay. Take it easy.
Oh, Lori.
Boy, everybody's
everyone's a critic.
Worked up.
I have a demanding personality. I'm like a femme daddy top in the bedroom sometimes.
TMI?
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. I recommend it for everyone.
Yeah.
So, like, I figured, I was thinking about whether I wanted to try this
What
with
was
Tom,
the second word in that?
Femme
what?
Daddy.
Oh, daddy?
Top?
Okay, all right.
Did I get the words in the right order?
Why daddy?
Because gender norms are for losers.
Okay. Sorry, Matt. Sorry I asked. But
so heteronormative, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. I just had to find out about the daddy part. You know, daddy,
losers.
You know, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, I want people to call me daddy.
Okay. All right. Well,
I don't call
right.
people daddy, you call me daddy. That's how it works.
Okay.
Oh, God, I think a creepy guy is messaging me. I'm going to ask him to Venmo me $50 if he wants me to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
Lori,
I do
are
that,
you a cam
and,
girl now?
Like, I've made $800 this year. They're called pay picks, and I don't have to do anything sexual. They're kink. They get uh-huh. off on women spending their money. And there are gay pay picks as well, gay and bi male.
Say this
I
one again. Said. I want to get the terminology. I'm learning things
pay
tonight.
Pig.
A pay pig. Okay.
Yes, I all dated right. a Miami mean girl. Now they're LA-based and international,
uh-huh.
but I dated a Miami mean girl, and she showed me the ropes. And so I made $800 this year, and I'm saving up for, like, a Celine bag, but I bought a Kenneth Anger Lucifer Rising jacket.
Oh.
With the money I made this year. So I don't, and it, what's great is I don't have to do feet pics or take pictures or do anything, just spend their money. And it's awesome. It's so low maintenance and low key. And there's this concept called invoicing the patriarchy. And I feel like okay. this is, you know, part and parcel with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right? Don't you agree, Tara?
I want to know how this works. So you, so they send you money and then you just buy something with it and then you do like an unboxing video?
Or I don't. Sometimes they do, and they'll pay me like $100 for that. And sometimes they also buy me things off my wish list. It's awesome.
Why don't you put the Celine bag on your wish list?
Life, and it used to be Craigslist, but they got rid of the personals, and it's harder to do that.
Do straight guys do this too?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the thing for straight guys? I could be a pay pig?
It's mostly straight guys, but there are gay men and bi men who are into it, and will seek other men out for this.
I had no idea this existed.
But what does it matter whether you're straight or gay if you're just buying stuff for somebody?
It's the idea of like a woman spending your money and draining their bank account. Some of them are like their ultimate fantasy is being bankrupted by a woman.
Oh, Depravity's Rainbow, we are back.
Yeah, we're back.
We are back.
Lori was
Thank
waiting.
You, Lori.
You must have been waiting for this show to come back.
No, I'm not kidding. 2 weeks ago, no, last week when Tom was out and there was no show, I said, I think the secret worked because I said,
I think the secret works too, actually.
God, let Depravity's Rainbow, let Therese and Mike be back. And I think I made it happen.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate
it. I also said I wanted a girlfriend like a couple of months ago. I wanted to not be single by 2020. And I went on a date with a really cute girl. I asked her out. We've been Facebook friends for months. And I met her on a bad date with a guy. And I was making eyes at her. And she was flirting back with me. Maybe that's why it went badly. I don't know. But he didn't have a car, and he asked me to drive him home to his dad's house. So, like, that's not for me, you know? Not shaming
him. Did you start singing
it's not for me.
Did you start singing the Destiny's Child song? Yeah.
You're with me. Okay,
I hear you.
So, like,
no scrubs. No scrubs, Lori.
So we've been Facebook friends for months. I asked her if she did some light stalking on my profile, and she said she did. So, like, she's known me for long enough to be scared away, and she actually thinks
She did some what? I got to call you back on some terminology. I'm behind
She's
the times.
She's known me long enough to be scared away.
What was the... She did some what?
Light Facebook stalking.
Like Facebook... Okay, all right. Stalking.
Like, yeah. Not like...
Likes... Oh, like stalking, yeah, where somebody keeps liking your stuff. Okay, yeah.
So it's like, you know, not a big deal. So she's known me for a few months now, and had enough time to get to know me, and she thinks I'm cooler than she like plays the drums, and she's very sexy, and she's like a camera person, and has done PBS documentaries, like, and she currently does like
Civil War
photography. So she's super cool. I think she's cooler than I am, but whatever. And she's pretty and has purple hair. Oh, and I like her. And she has a real cute southern drawl. I like her a lot. Yeah. And she said to me when I asked her out, let me buy you a drink, she said she had like a call time at 5 a.m., but she still wanted, she was like, oh, I really want to do it. And then she came and we hung out till like 11 p.m. And it turns out she knew the lead singer in the headlining band, and I knew the drummer, so I seemed even cooler.
Huh.
And then the next day, she's like, are you near the place where she was filming? And I said, yeah, like you're a nine-minute drive from me. And she said, let's do lunch. So guess what? I'm making things happen. The secret works, and I need to make a vision board.
Mm-hmm. This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and we love our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit.
or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Yes. I think the vision board is key.
So the reason I'm calling, the real reason is I'm writing jokes and I'm workshopping jokes and I want to try one out. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's hear.
Okay. So I get the 2-part joke, but I'm pretty sure you know about the second part and I'd like Mike, to take over the second part. Cause I'm pretty, I'll tell you when I'm at the half point.
Okay.
Mark, okay? Is that
right,
okay?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, so let me try this. I've, like, done it in voice memos and practice, but I haven't taken the stage yet because I have, like, imposter syndrome, but I'm going to a joke writing workshop in 2 weeks, in, like, not next Monday, but the Monday after that, and I'm super excited about that. But, okay, let me try this. I'm going to start 3, 2, 1. Okay. So, like, no little girl thinks to themselves, when I grow up, I want to be a human.
I do love it, Megan.
Jokes about it.
You gotta push forward. You can't start laughing at your own joke before you get through it.
They'll work on that with you in the Joke Academy.
This is why I gotta practice. Uh-huh. And in front of people and, like, do open mics. Mm-hmm. To get the giggles out. And also, like, I'm drinking this beer that's, like, 9.2 ABV, and I'm, like, halfway through it. Okay. So I probably shouldn't drink before a show. So, okay, let me start.
No, we encourage people to drink during this show. This show,
let me turn over. Hold on.
Mike's on his third.
So no little girl thinks, when I grow up, I want to be a human toilet. I'm going to fight through the left. A human toilet. So when you turn 13, then it's, like, normal. You're exploring your kinks. You're always learning new kinks. But if you're, like, 6 or 7, you're not thinking, I want to be a human toilet when I grow up, right?
No.
Right. So let me explain, because it's not as straightforward as you might think. So, like, there's this male scientist, and, like, they have no reason to lie or make things up or obfuscate things because, like, wandering wombs are real. Like, sometimes my womb goes for a little walkabout, and I'm a little scared, like, a toddler might jump in, and then when it comes back, because, like, I feel like giving birth to a toddler would be pretty uncomfortable, and I probably had to get a C-section. But anyway, so this doctor did a study. It was published in a
peer-reviewed. Is this still the joke?
It's still going.
Okay. All right. See.
Okay.
My first advice to you is you gotta cut this shorter. It's too long.
Okay. So
it's not a joke. It's
going to grow up to be a human toilet. There was a study by this doctor, and he tested 6 people with vaginas. And, like, the whole process was making these people squirt, right? And I don't know how they did that and how they collected the samples. Like, did a lab assistant hold a vial under them while they, like, stimulated them? Like, I gotta read the study, but it was published in a peer-reviewed journal, so it must be true. And they did a chemical analysis, and there's tea in it. I don't know if it's trace amounts, but, you know, I've had girls sit in my face and squirt in my mouth, right? And it doesn't taste like tea. It doesn't look like pee. It doesn't smell like pee. I've both had girls pee before and after sex, and you should do that after sex if you're out of a vagina because, you know, you don't want any UTI. Have you ever had UTI, Tara?
No, but
I don't think she would tell you.
It's not fun.
No, no.
Okay. So anyway,
I'm lucky in that regard.
I feel like if it's piss, then fine. It's piss, and I want girls to piss into my mouth, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Now, there's this one guy in New York. His name is Giorgio. Do you know where I'm going with this, Mike?
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
You tell it.
I'm way ahead of you. Yeah. I'm way ahead. No, you got to do the honors. Do the honors, Lori. We've gone this far. We've gone this far.
Let me finish it. Yeah, let's not prematurely.
Therese has given me a look of horror that I've never elicited from her. So congratulations
to you, Lori.
You've taught me here. You daddy taught me, I think.
And, well, she thought she was a top.
Yeah, she's a daddy topper. She daddy taught me. On my own show.
Moment.
On my own show, I got daddy topped.
I got a positive write-up, like, in 2011 in the AV Club Podmouth with Geneva. And this is, like, more exciting for me than that. Like, I might squirt. I'm not kidding.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Therese just fell off the chair. You're hitting new lows.
Oh.
I mean, I've never gone here.
This
is the new freedom. You know, we got to wrap it up though. I think we're losing listeners. We're going to lose some listeners here. You know,
I'm really
I'll just put the bed music back on.
Yeah, we'll put the bed music back on and drive her out of here. Sum it up, Lori.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
I want to know if this guy, the human carpet, is still around. Because I've heard he likes to go to dance parties. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like he must have damaged a vital organ. I feel like if your job description is human carpet, like, you're pretty low on the totem pole when it comes to, like, the organ transplant list. Like, do you know what Giorgio is doing right now? Is he still around in New York?
Yeah, I'm not part of Giorgio's scene. So he hasn't showed up in Bayonne yet, so I think
I'm not here to kink shame anyone, but like I feel like there's like a lack of consent there, and that's somewhat problematic.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You feel me?
Yeah, no, I feel you. I felt you through the whole call. And I think we're gonna wrap it up right there, Lori. You've achieved quite a lot. You set the tone.
Yeah, you did.
Thank you.
You set the tone.
Back on the joke. Please.
You set the tone. Wow. Well, it's all downhill from here.
Do you think I will get laughs on that one? And like,
you'll get.
I think you need to workshop it a little more, but don't give up.
You'll get howls. I don't know if it'll be laughter, but you'll get some sort of response. That's for sure.
We love you, Lori. Thanks for calling.
I want a response.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh,
well, all right.
Hello?
Yeah, okay. Let's get a refresher.
Hello?
Who is this? We need a palate cleanser. Let this be a palate cleanser.
Oh, hi. This is Katie calling from Brooklyn.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Actually, one thing to follow up on what Lori was saying.
Oh, here we go.
No, just one thing. I recently read a story, I think it must have been in New York, where a guy was at a bar, and he gave a woman his cell phone to put her phone number in it, and instead she Venmo'd herself $2,000. And he had, like, filed a police report, and he's looking for this woman who scammed him $2,000.
Okay, well,
on Venmo.
Good. I'm glad there's, you know, tech scammers out there. You know, I'm anti-cell phone, so this is another reason not to have a cell phone.
Don't put the Venmo app on your cell phone, Mike.
Gaming doesn't... Oh, pardon.
What was the term again? You know, that was a new term. I'm learning so many things tonight. This has been an education.
Venmo?
Venmo?
It's an app. It's kind of just
okay.
A cooler PayPal.
You're pulling a Mike Francesa right now. You know that, right?
I mean, you know,
Stan Lee? Who's that?
Well, no, I've heard of Stan Lee, but I mean, Venmo? I don't know what Venmo is. So, okay, all right. I'm sure the listeners know what it is.
It's like MySpace to PayPal's Facebook.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I actually got
a good analogy?
Yes, and I actually got really annoyed at it when I first heard of it myself because a younger ex-girlfriend at the time was showing me, like, installing it on my phone because she was annoyed that I couldn't, like, chip in to whatever, dinner or whatever. And I was so annoyed when I found out it was not only a way to pay people back, it was its own, for whatever reason, I still don't know, it was its own social network. And I'm just like, this makes no... So it has a feed and you can like when other people paid other people back?
Do you think that... Do you think... Oh, my God. Do you
and it's
think
stupid.
That
it's really
that
stupid.
Kind of plays into what Lori was talking about with the pay pigs? I don't want to get too deep into that,
yeah.
But... oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to put Lori's call behind me.
Well, I originally called to talk about cornhole.
Okay, all right.
Let's
get back on topic.
I don't know if you know, but now, at least this year, I don't know how many years they've done it, after the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on 4th of July, they have a cornhole competition at the baseball stadium in Coney Island, and they show it on ESPN.
Okay,
and
regular ESPN or like ESPN2?
ESPN. It's coming up in the world. It's in ESPN. Yeah, it's in that world. Yeah.
And it's just so sad because the stadium is empty. I'm sure it's like empty, half empty for Cyclone games too, but it's just so pathetically empty. Broadcast on television, and I don't get it. Like, who is it for?
Well, I think we're on the cusp of the cornhole revolution. And so that, you know, there may not be crowds now, but next year it's going to be bigger, and the year after that, it's just going to keep growing.
That could be a good scam for you to get in. Get in on the bottom of the cornhole scalping ticket. Buy those tickets now for 4th of July, and you could make a 500. You could sell them on apmice.bandcamp.com.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's an idea. I'm looking for angles. I'm always trying to look out for angles. Yeah. I should mention, I do have an angle going right now. It's the calendars at apmice.bandcamp.com. Yeah, people have been very nice, and I want to thank everybody who's placed an order. They're picking up through the holiday season. Speaking of holiday season, happy Hanukkah to all our people who are celebrating the holiday. And,
that's all I got.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks
for cleansing the palate. I mean, Laura's call is left
oh,
a...
That-
Yeah, I mean...
Remember when all we wanted was no murders?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
Please, no murders.
Yeah. Please, no murders. Yeah, that was our first show.
Yeah.
Childhood trauma was our topic. Childhood trauma was our topic, and it was one sweaty... I mean, I was sweating bullets by the end of that show, because it just kept building with one horrible caller after another.
Right. Wasn't there a firecracker in a baby carriage?
That was my story. But I'm not the one who
alluded to this.
I was not the one who alluded to a possible murder by rock throwing.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
Remember that's it was like a
please no murders
Raymond Carver story. Anyway, let's get that out front. No murder stories tonight. No more daddy topic stories. I think we've covered that for the next couple of years. That subject or pay pigs. No more pay pigs.
I'm learning so much. I'm learning so much.
Thank you for calling. You're on the line with AP Mike and Therese on Depravity's Rainbow.
Hi.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, guys? It's Dan in Bear Valley.
How's it going?
Hey, Dan.
How you doing?
Very good.
So I was hoping that Mike would tell us about his first experience with pornography.
Don't you wish you didn't say no politics?
Does anybody remember that? I fortunately have a good memory, you know. I think I've told this story before, there was a wooded area near where I grew up called the Ditch. and the older boys had an outdoor stash there. And somebody started tearing up the magazines. I don't know why they would tear it up, you know, but it was all like just sort of pieces of torn up magazines. And, you know, I'm sort of just going through the fragments. And I picked up something that I did not recognize as a young boy. I thought it was a monkey's thumb, but it turned out to be a male penis, you know. But, you know, that's where, you know, you're young and you don't know what you're seeing. And so, yeah, I thought it was a monkey's thumb. I thought it was something innocent. Turned out not to be.
Did you take any, like, back home with you?
No. I mean, it was all soggy, you know. It's, you know. That's the problem with the outdoor stash. You know, I think some guys do dig holes and try to protect it. But most people, you're just kind of scattered, harem scarum fashion.
That's really a thing.
Now, what era was this? Like, was
somebody actually sent me. Somebody actually sent me a link. Somebody wrote an online article about the whole phenomenon
of leaving porn in the woods.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a dying thing
because of the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Internet, you know, it's sort of taken
it's
over.
Pre-internet.
You know,
was there anything like really deviant amongst the stash? Like what?
No,
era
no.
Was
it? I mean, it was Playboy and Penthouse. You know, it was mainstream. You know, it was a mainstream suburban neighborhood. So. So
but the aesthetic has changed.
Well, I mean, the internet has changed everything, you know.
Yeah.
But what do you have an early experience that you remember?
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
My aunt, I think.
Your what?
My aunt. My uncle was like, she's like a step aunt, so mm-hmm. She wasn't like blood related or whatever, but my uncle... had like all these like muscle cars and there was those like specialty magazines where the guys would like show off their cars and have like their, you know, wives topless and stuff on them or whatever, and that was the first one I ever saw.
Yeah, those were actually sold in drugstores. You know,
it was called Auto Buff.
Auto Buff, yeah. Okay, well yeah.
Auto Buff.
Self explanatory. But yeah. I remember, you know, you could go into your local drugstore and, you know, they wouldn't have Playboy out, but they'd have these also motorcycle magazines as well. You know, chopper,
yeah.
Photos of choppers with topless women
Easy
on.
Easy Rider.
Yeah, and, you know, that was the best you could do in a drugstore as a young boy, you know. And Saga magazine. I don't know if anybody remembers Saga. I'm dating myself here. It was a magazine called Saga. It was a men's magazine, but It was soft. It was not Playboy. It didn't have full nudity, but it, you know.
No, this was full nude, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Oh, okay. I guess they had some of those. Yeah. But
Yeah, you might have. Did you have access to like a VHS or Betamax or anything then?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I grew up through that period, so that was like.
But they kept those in a different
the revolution.
Part of the video
yeah,
store.
Yeah, behind the swinging doors.
You had to.
As Tom.
Yeah,
the stores always had the swinging doors,
yeah.
And you'd make that journey back there, and just hope that nobody recognized you when you came out front. It was a risky proposition. You know, you were putting your life in your hands when you went behind those swinging doors.
Yeah, you might come out and like see your math teacher,
and you came out with Insight Seika. Or whatever.
Yeah, it felt like when you made it through successfully, it felt like you just like, you know, scored a home run or something.
Yeah, I was fortunate. I never met anybody that I recognized coming out of the store. Although I have told this story before, there was a I came out of this was an adult store. This wasn't even a video store. And I came out, I recognized a guy.
Did it have blacked out windows?
It had whited out windows.
Okay,
with the huge warning, the warning to everybody. That,
was it on the side of like Route 10
no,
or something?
No, it was literally right on Highway Route 9 next to a diner. And
Bruce Springsteen wrote a song about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's an outtake from the river.
If Bruce went a little further south, yeah, we would have got a different song down there.
Yeah, I think it was on "Working on a Dream." Actually,
yes.
But anyway, this literally was right on the highway, and Tom talks about it, and it's a great thing to just beep your horn when you see somebody come out of store, because then they're just going to be like, "Who saw me?" You know,
that is like the greatest
thing you could do. I never got a beep, but you know, I came out and I met somebody I knew.
I never got a beep.
I never got a beep, But I ran into this guy, and, you know, he was a little embarrassed, but, you know, I never forgot what he said.
What did he say, Mike?
He said, we all had our needs. We all have our needs. It's like, I couldn't argue with the guy, you know, so I was like, yeah, you're right. We all have our needs. And, yeah, that was my own one and only encounter.
Did he whisper it?
No. We were outdoors. We weren't even inside the establishment. So it was like, you know.
I appreciate your candor.
Uh-huh. Guys, you know, this country's weird about sex. I mean, people are just so it's weird. It's not like this in other countries, and you know they're not embarrassed by it. You know, they don't feel like they have to hide that they're sexual beings.
They don't white out the windows of their adult bookstores.
Yeah. I mean, you know, another story I always tell.
Clean, well lighted place.
When I was working in Manhattan, I used to walk down 8th Avenue and. This was back when it was funky and there was still lots of adult bookstores and adult theaters. And I was, I guess in keeping with the Hanukkah theme, I remember I was behind.
Where is this going to go? Do not.
I was behind this Orthodox Jewish fellow. And instead of just him bravely walking into the store, he literally walked in sideways, thinking like he would be less noticeable walking in sideways to an adult bookstore than if he just proudly pranced into the store. You know, he did a sideways walk, which was unnatural. And so, of course, it caught my attention.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you know, it's like.
Well, in his defense, that's in the Old Testament, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Well, maybe he wasn't three-dimensional.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, never walk sideways into an adult bookstore. You know, just be, you know, there's nothing to be embarrassed about it. You know, come on. You know?
That's wisdom to live by.
Right.
Yeah.
One to grow on. Never walk sideways into an adult bookstore. Thanks, Mike.
Well, you guys are good people.
Do we have any other callers, Pat? How you doing?
We got one.
Thanks, okay. Dan.
Thanks for the call.
Uh-oh. There we go. And if you want to call, it's 201-332-3484. Your call will be next on Depravity's Rainbow at 201-332-3484. Or just think 201 Dead Hug. Porn or Pot, you're on with Mike and Therese.
Oh, God, Pat.
What?
Just kidding.
Hi.
Who's on? Hi.
What's your name, dude?
Oh, it's Tom. That's
Hi,
my
Tom.
Name.
Oh, it's yeah. Tom.
Yeah.
Hi, Tom.
Any chance
I'm sorry.
Can we make that background music louder by any chance as all possible? I can still hear just a hint of your voice.
We can fade it out. Let's fade it out. Fade it down.
Yeah. How about you fade it out? Okay, it's not okay. Good for the callers.
I'm a semi-professional, Tom. I'm not.
Yeah. Who's running the? You're not running the board, are you?
No.
You got to turn that background music down. That music's
weird.
Deafening.
Okay. Sorry.
For the callers.
Okay.
Well, you guys got it. Oh, what is it? What? Oh.
Are you sorry, Tom?
Turn it down!
Tom. I turned it off when you first mentioned it.
Oh, you don't know how loud it is right now, Pat. You don't know how loud
it is.
Is
it still going on your Mac?
I'll just kill it all the way.
Okay, yeah.
There we go.
Oh, there, that's better. Thank you. Oh, God, I'm in a parking lot. That's all I can say is I'm in a parking lot in Toronto outside. Oh, by the way, my name's Tom, everybody. I'm the host of the normal thing that goes on here on Tuesday nights. Uh-huh. And thank you, Therese and Mike, for doing this. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So I go to a parking lot. I'm in a parking lot. It's Arctic conditions, and I'm just, let me just step aside for a second and hear a little bit of what my two friends are drumming up to keep it going. I hear Mike talking about Chopper magazine. I'm just, what the... I heard for 15 seconds. I'm like, I think I have to call in.
You're lucky you didn't hear Lori.
Yeah, did you hear Lori?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't.
Oh, wow.
I didn't hear Lori.
Yeah.
Why? What was that about?
Oh, yeah. I don't even want
to
go
I might have to. Time. I might have to label this one explicit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Why is it that people act like they don't know what the show has been about for 19 years I've been doing it, that suddenly they forget the parameters of things because I'm...
not there. It's like you wouldn't go watch a Gilligan's Island and suddenly there were people running naked on it. Just because whoever was running the show, which is, the rules don't change that much.
Sherwood Schwartz is off that week, so...
Sherwood Schwartz goes to, takes a vacation, suddenly people are sunning themselves with no clothes on.
Goodness.
On Gilligan's Island. That doesn't happen. Oh, Mike, you bring it out in them, Mike.
Right out the gate, Tom. It was...
Yeah. You too. You're just as complicit.
I know. I'm not behind the board. I'm sitting next to Mike, so I don't have any control.
But you put vibes out.
I did.
The two of you give off vibes that bring out the worst on these callers.
I think there's a small portion of your audience, Tom, that for whatever reason they do. You're sort of a super ego figure.
And we're the id.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a little bit of a release. You know, it doesn't have to be very often, but when there's a little release.
Release, but please say release again. I haven't thrown up yet.
Well, you haven't heard my talk about cornhole. Then I was talking about cornhole.
No, I saw an email. I saw an email about it, and then I ripped the top half of my laptop off. It's just a keyboard now with no screen.
So I think that's
how are you tonight, Therese? I don't want to talk to you later.
I'm okay.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing
Therese?
Okay.
It's nice to hear your voice.
I'm happy to be here. It's nice to hear your voice, too.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Tighten it up, Mike.
No, Tom, I did give you, you know, one of the funniest things we were, you know, we did talk about adult bookstores earlier.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, I did talk about, which I think was brilliant, your beeping the horn whenever you saw somebody come out of it.
Oh,
it was a class.
Driving past the place.
Yeah, yeah.
I always blow the horn twice as if somebody recognized that friendly. Your worst nightmare. You'd be walking out of that place. Oh, no. Is that my boss? I don't know who that was. Who just spotted me? I was running to my car, and then I got somebody honked.
They recognize me with this baseball cap and dark glasses?
Yeah, they're like, if I run quickly, I could be in my car in 10 seconds. If I just run across this parking lot,
I thought about you today, Tom, when I saw an article.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I think about you every day.
I saw an article. Are you familiar with a person called Ryan? He's a YouTube star on Ryan Toys Review. He's a 7-year-old, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
He made last year $22 million.
Oh, good for him. God bless him. God bless him. He earned every nickel of it.
And here's what he does. He's one of these unboxers.
Yeah, unboxers.
So he's a 7-year-old unboxer who unboxes toys.
Yeah.
And now he's one of the most popular influencers, they call them. These people that don't really do anything. They don't do anything. They unbox things, and yet they influence people to buy stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
During an interview.
Because everyone wants to be like this toy. What's his name? Ryan the Toy Boy?
Yeah,
Ryan
Toys Review. He's also got Ryan's Family Review.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this.
He's a mini millionaire, they call him.
No, he's not. This kid is not a mini millionaire. His parents are millionaires, and Ryan ain't gonna be pulling the trigger on a whole lot of those things to unbox by the time he's the legal age. His family's gonna burn through that money.
Well, they said that there's some sort of way to protect the money now. I didn't.
Oh, remember. I'm sure every safeguard has been taken for a family that rams their kid in front of a computer and makes them makes them do unboxing videos all day long. I'm sure they just have his best interest at heart all the time. They got him, they probably got an ankle, shackle on him, making him, unpack, the Chutes and Ladders shows up. He's got to unpack it.
Yeah.
The 2018 version of Gypsy.
And there was a quote from him in the article. I think he did an interview on, NBC. And he's not modest. He says, "I'm entertaining and I'm funny."
And this is a seven-year-old saying this.
Yeah, a seven-year-old, yeah.
Well, I can only root for him. He sounds like a real... his parents, I'm sure, are just gems. I'm not going to even put down a seven-year-old. I'm going to... This is not his fault. He's seven.
Yeah. And
his parents let their kid just say he's the greatest, and he's not...
He's got to deal with Walmart. He's got to deal with Walmart, so he's on packaging. You know, if you just take a stroll through Walmart's toy section, you'll see him. He's all over the packaging.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So, yeah, well, we'll see him also at Walmart in about 11 years. We'll also see him back at Walmart. Yeah. Maybe not on the packaging as much as swabbing the decks. So he'll be in the toy aisle when someone throws up in the toy aisle. He'll have to clean it.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to play it like your show now. I'm talking about throwing up. Figure to kind of try to fit in.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. Try to bring a little class to the.
Okay.
Thing.
No, I'm trying.
And it goes double for you. It goes double for you, Therese. I don't expect anything of Mike. I expect literally nothing of Mike. And then you let that kid in there to scream call us.
Oh yeah, that kid.
What's his face?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Joe.
Well, he's all right. Mike.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that kid in there any of the weeks I was doing the show here?
I didn't know I had to run by.
No, yes or no? Somebody just answer me. You ever see that kid in here when I'm here?
No.
I go away. Mm-hmm. I go away because I got to work. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you guys got a frat house going in there. You got that Joe Duffy kid who, look, he's a very nice guy. Very nice guy, very funny. I like him a lot. But, I'm going to say this, the Eddie Pay, Ash K, Deep K, It A, Away A, Umfrey, Imhey.
Copy that.
One Roblem.
And dude, did you order food? I'm sure you ordered food.
Yes.
Yeah.
We ordered.
Oh, of course. What'd you get? What'd you guys get? Steamer trays tonight? We got, Clamp Casino?
A little lobster bisque.
We got.
Now, what did you get?
Shrimp scampi. No, we got a pizza pie. And
pizza pie. Oh boy, I've never been jealous.
And
pizza up here is the worst. I went to a pizza place the other night. I got a thing that had sun dried tomatoes on it. Tasted like fish. I threw it in the garbage. I go, oh, what's on that slice? Sun-dried tomatoes. Yeah, I'll get one of those slices. Start eating. It tastes like rotten fish. I threw in the trash.
That's a moment where if it was here, you'd think the impractical jokers are going to show up.
Are you sure it wasn't there? It's just pizza. Are you sure it wasn't an old anchovy that you mistook for a sun-dried tomato?
They were sun-dried tomatoes. Okay. They clearly had some filthy tray or something back there that they just didn't wash and made another pizza in. Uh-huh.
You'll be happy about this, Tom. We got here early. We ordered a pizza.
Yeah.
We're stuffing some envelopes for you.
Oh, thank you. Those are the patches that are going to go out to all the people who gave earlier in the year to... the patreon.com/thebestshow. I'm going to be back soon. I'm trying, guys. Soon. We're getting closer. I am going to say this, though. All kidding aside, Pat?
Yes.
The Joe Duffy kid.
Yeah.
I want you to throw him some money.
All right.
Thing. Go to the petty cash. Go to my hidden petty cash envelope. Okay. Do what when Mike leaves the room, you know where that one is.
I know where that
one is. I definitely don't want him seeing that. Because he's got what they call sticky fingers.
Yep.
They call it sticky fingers. It's a Bayonne thing. He can't help it. Uh-huh. He just wants a taste, is what he figures. If he sees money, he wants a taste. And I don't think Therese has it because she's not Bayonne. But
no.
Well, I've already arranged for getting my taste once Joe gets the money. So that's how it works.
Oh, so you're gonna get a tribute? Get a little tribute his money?
Yeah.
Right?
He's gonna kick it up. He's gonna kick it up. He knows where to kick it up to.
Yeah. And also take care of Therese, Pat. Take care of Therese.
You got it. We're gonna split the difference.
Don't take care of Mike though. Don't take care of Mike. He already makes way too much on this show with the dumb calendar. I've heard nothing, and this is the worst part. I hear nothing but raves about this stupid calendar. Everybody loves it.
Yeah.
I just want to see one bad review of this calendar. I've yet to see it.
Uh-huh.
This guy is like his calendar. He's like the Phantom Thread of calendar makers. He's rave reviews. Uh-huh.
And I try to stay on customer service is important to me too.
Oh, I know it is. I know it's for you. That's really job number one is you make sure that the people are happy. And that's the worst part is, honestly, that you're making them happy. And you're sincere about that, and you actually take care of the people. God knows why these people go over to apmike.bandcamp.com. And I'm sure they can order these stupid calendars and get them in time for the holidays. Because, Mike, I'm sure he's walking the post office every day.
I am, yes.
Things out.
Yeah.
So he's sending these stupid things out. You'll get them. You order a dumb calendar, a stupid headshot, idiotic T-shirt, whatever you want. He's got it over at apmike.bandcamp.com. Yeah, look, I stepped into a car to talk to you guys, but work summons me, so I have to go back out into the Arctic tundra that is Toronto and stand back in a parking lot for an hour and a half. So,
do you have a good coat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do. But you know what? The winter is stronger than any coat out here.
Yeah.
It's cold up here. Now you know why these animals eat poutine all day long.
Sure.
Because it's just carbs. They're just stockpiling carbs so they could burn it off.
Any snow yet?
No, it snows every 2 days.
Oh, okay.
It's flurries every 2 days.
Ah.
Yeah, it doesn't stick. Just enough to be slippery.
We miss you did miss the carp. What are they calling that? That we had a winter storm. I heard somebody refer to it as the carpopolis.
Carpocalypse?
Carpocalypse, yes. When
Cars couldn't
move. All the cities got caught off guard with the amount of snow.
Which was not a lot.
But it happened like just before rush hour.
It was more than they expected.
It still was not a lot. It was like suddenly New Jersey turned into North Carolina.
Uh-huh. With yeah, suddenly, what happened? I left you guys just soft all of a sudden.
I know somebody who was stranded for hours on the Verrazano Bridge. You know, it was like people couldn't move all over the region. Somebody, like a 10-minute drive through Newark took 3 hours, you know, it was that type of thing. And,
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Think it's any easier up here? It's not. Trust me, Mike. Uh-huh. It's not easier up here.
No, it's not.
At least down there, you can be stuck in the car. You know you're going to get some food you can hold down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I eat here? Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
And then one day it tasted off.
Uh-huh.
One day it was literally off. Peanut butter, jelly, bread.
How about cheese and crackers? You like cheese and crackers?
Nah.
No?
Nah. I don't trust the myths. I don't trust the myths of my coworkers. Wouldn't kill these people to break out some tongs every once in a while up here. Apparently that's an American concept. Tongs.
Tongs.
Yeah. Well, Therese, you are a I'm so happy you're there. Thank you for doing it.
Oh, anytime.
Does it feel all right to you to be back doing Depravity's Rainbow?
It does. It does. It started off. Yeah, it's like we never left, Tom.
Well, good. Do you think you'd have it in your heart to ever do this again with Mike?
Well, let's see how the rest of the night goes.
Well, that's a fair point.
Thanks.
Let's see. There's a lot of damage Mike can do. And also, a lot of damage you could do, Therese. You're not innocent in this.
I know the dynamic.
I know the dynamic. You know what you do on the show, Therese? You do what the ventriloquist does, where he's just like, oh, I can't help what he's saying, folks.
Yeah. He's got a mind of his own.
Now, Billy, don't be rude to the audience. These are nice people. But you're the same. That's the thing. Mike is Billy.
We're simpatico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our own
closer than you want people to think, Therese.
I know. It's.
But I love it.
Thanks.
And
I
everyone
love
else
you.
Loves it, too. I gotta say, it turned my stomach a little bit to see how excited people were that Mike was gonna have Mike was gonna be in the captain's chair.
But I'm not in the captain's chair, and actually, Therese was having a bit of anxiety not having the board.
The console and behind
us. Right? It's hard. Not easy to get used to. You don't have your hands on the knobs.
No.
Who's back? Pat's behind the board?
Pat is. But yeah. I'm closest to the door, so I can, like, make a quick escape if necessary.
Sure. Mike always makes sure he gets in that corner, though, huh?
Yeah. He went right for that corner. You're right.
Yeah, right to it. Oh, that's Mike's seat. You didn't know that, Therese? That's Mike's seat?
Well, I guess because he can have... Yeah, he can see... I don't know.
He's in the corner.
I can't get into his head.
No, he thinks it's casino, that he has to have his back to the wall so he can see who's coming at him.
It's a good philosophy, I think.
Yeah. And look, this Joe Duffy, thank you, Joe, for doing this. Would I have chosen for you to be in the studio? No, I wouldn't have. I'll be honest. Not my first choice. Am I happy you're there? No, I'm still not happier there. Are you doing a great job? I'm sure you're doing a great job. Uh-huh. I'm sure of that. Throw him some money at the end of the night, Pat.
You got it, Tom.
And Pat, you're always a joy, and I don't know where Dudio is. I don't know what the deal with that is.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is? I think he knew the heat was going to go down on this show, and he decided, I wasn't there.
Yep. Yeah. He wanted to let us crash and burn and spill it, tailspin ourselves out.
He's washing his hands.
So you know, what's that? What's he doing?
He's washing his hands, like Pontius Pilate.
Oh, he's washing his hands. I thought you said he went to see a band. I was like, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either.
We're going to hear his Spotify selections momentarily.
Yeah, oh no, it's super. What was he playing last time? Imperial Drag came up.
Imperial Team. Yeah.
God bless him. God bless all of you. All right, you have a great night.
All right, thanks.
I'll help you all soon.
Stay safe.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Yay.
I think I did the right thing not telling him I played Steely Dan earlier.
He'll find out.
You think so?
Yeah.
I would say let's go to a song, but you guys want to keep moving, right?
We got callers?
We have one more. You want to take it right away?
Sure.
Why not?
All right. We're going right away to line two. You're on with Mike and Therese.
Hello?
Are you there?
Hi, this is Steven.
Hi, Steven.
Hi, Steven.
One second, let me... Okay. So I was calling about the cornhole thing.
Okay.
Oh.
So back in like a few years ago, we went outside to play like cornhole, and like other kids were playing like soccer and that. But you know, we started playing cornhole instead. And it's such a just like a boring game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, when we started like accidentally, like if one hit someone, like accidentally threw one at another person's body.
Okay. Yeah.
We'd like. You know, someone would throw one back at them.
Uh-huh.
So at one point, it just starts like turning into like a complete just warfare.
A beanbag fight.
Beanbag.
Yeah. But, like fighting with them.
Uh huh. Well, that's actually sort of. I mean, were people drinking? I mean, it is a sport. I think that's centered around drinking. I mean, that's what I observe in the parking lot at MetLife Stadium.
No, no one was doing any of that. But,
no one was drinking?
It was for a school thing.
Uh-huh.
But they also had, like giant Jenga blocks out.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, you just start getting so mad at each other. You start, like, hurling those at each other. So it's just something, like, kind of, like, real hurt bad.
Can you get hurt by a beanbag? I mean, you could throw a beanbag.
Well, depends on the velocity.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the velocity.
Some people, they get started to get hurt.
Uh-huh.
You know,
what was the worst injury?
I think someone got, like, bruised on their arm pretty bad.
On their arm, okay. I thought you were going to say the eye. I would see that. The eyes might be the most vulnerable, you know?
Yeah. And at one point, we just start, like, picking up, like, wooden, like, blocks and sticks and, like, actually start fighting.
Uh-huh.
Where were the teachers?
People got poked with sticks.
So you said this was a school function?
Caller?
Hello?
What was that?
Where were your teachers when this happened? Or your coaches?
I don't know. I think they were watching the kids playing soccer, I think.
Ah. And this melee?
Eventually got stopped.
Okay.
So you would say you're not a fan of the sport anymore?
No, it's a pretty weird sport. It's pretty boring.
It ruined it for you. Okay. Is that rain in the background?
What?
I hear water. Are you in the shower? The first? You're in the shower.
No, raining out.
Oh, okay.
That was me.
Oh, okay.
I
thought we had our first caller talking to us while they were showering.
The first caller tonight. Didn't we get a call from the shower once?
Did we?
I feel like maybe we did.
or maybe they say they need a shower after the show. That could be possible.
Silkwood shower after.
I think Pat was jumping into the shower after Lori's call. I think we all need a shower after that call.
We all, we're all different now.
We've been changed.
We have been. We have been changed.
Anything else, caller?
Nope.
No? Okay.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Mike, how do I do this?
I don't know. We've been abandoned.
I know. if I hit this X.
Uh-huh.
I did it.
Did it? Okay.
I think so.
Any more calls?
No.
Oh, okay. We got a vamp.
Yeah, because we don't have... I don't know how to run this board.
Yeah. No,
it's not like the one at WFMU.
No, it's different.
Mm-hmm. How's it going, Mike? How's it going?
Going good.
Good. What I was thinking the other day about the Donnybrook and the Cook's Nook.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that end up working out?
I don't know.
Did it actually go down?
Now, I've forgotten the circumstances. I remember the phrase.
Yeah, I only remember the phrase.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a good phrase, but I can't remember what the fight was or anything like that.
Was it like some sort of like mixed martial arts or?
Well, it's funny you mention that because... Nice segue.
Thank you.
one of my other signs of decline... occurred the other evening. I was, again at a bar. And, I was just sitting there next to a couple. And they had UFC on the television, which I'm not a fan of that. Boxing is barbaric. You know, I'm not going to defend boxing as being completely civilized. But UFC, to me, is taking it down even further. In which, you know, for me, the problem is that people are being punched in a defenseless position, and they allow it. And
people are being punched in boxing.
Well, they're being punched with padded gloves.
Okay.
And also, there is a referee who does step in when it is apparent that somebody is being injured. Whereas in MMA, mixed martial arts, they call it, they'll let somebody pound somebody in a defenseless position unmercifully for a while before the referee does intercede. And sure enough, I started talking to this person, and I'm saying, I really think the sport is barbaric. I think it's still banned in New Jersey, which I think is, you know, says something decent about New Jersey. It was originally, when it first started happening, they called it human cockfighting. And I think that's an accurate description of what it is.
Well, I would think that the humans in the arena have consented to be
Oh,
there.
Yes. No,
so
of course.
So it's a, yeah. It's,
yeah,
near, it's,
yeah, okay.
Anyway.
All right.
That's
yeah,
Roost, I'll just
yeah,
I'm splitting hairs, I know.
The chickens.
Or feathers.
The chickens
did not consent.
Are they chickens? They're roosters, I think, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, but yeah, they don't consent. Okay.
Anyway.
And they don't normally have spurs on their ankles or whatever to draw blood. But so anyway, sure enough, this fight degenerated to a point where a guy
I want you to back up and clarify. Was this fight happening at the bar you were at?
No, it was on television.
Oh, okay.
It was on television. I don't know if it was live. You know, I mean, it's a big moneymaker now. It's on lots of stations.
Was it like a pay-per-view event?
I don't think it was a pay-per-view, but it may have been a live event. It may not have been.
Okay.
I don't follow this stuff at all. But so I gave this guy my little speech about how I dislike this sport. And he's looking at me as if, you know, with this amazed look on his face, like, where did this guy come from?
And why doesn't he like it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what's wrong with him? He's like I was an alien. He's just amazed. And then I could see over his shoulder, his girlfriend's sitting next to him. And she's, I think, getting mad that I'm sort of like criticizing her boyfriend for indulging in this barbaric sport that he actually enjoys it.
Is he a participant or just a
no,
fan?
No, he was a fan. He I think he actually requested from the bartender to have it put on the television, you know. So he was definitely interested and he was watching this fight. And I picked up on that, and that's why I felt the need to start criticizing
right,
the sport.
Right.
You know, I never called
this
him
guy
a name.
Over here is having a good time watching this TV.
Yeah, yeah. And then here I come. And
this guy's out with his lady love. They're having a nice time.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ruin it.
And I kind of did because you know, they didn't stay much longer. I mean, basically this fight demonstrated my point because this guy got pounded. I mean, this guy, you know, a couple of years he won't be able to tie his own shoes. You know, he'll have to get those Velcro shoes. They, you know, for people.
It's very convenient.
The Velcro shoes?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Is this a call or did I never hang up on them?
I think I hung up on the person. I pressed the X, Pat. Is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, but
you abandoned us.
You have to highlight the call.
Well,
I realized
that. The call was on, then the lights went off.
I got to tell you, I actually, the glass I'd been drinking out of the whole night was filthy at the bottom and it grossed me out. So I waited till the water was nice and hot.
Like that pizza tray that Tom encountered in Toronto.
Yeah, so I skeeved me out, then I had to scrub it, and now it's clean, and it's to my standards.
Okay, okay. Yeah, well, we had to fend for ourselves in here.
I meant to tell Tom, supplies are so low, I'm drinking tap water. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking JC tap water, which is better than Newark, apparently. But
oh, yeah, there's no lead in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Have you heard about this Newark scenario?
It's
Mike?
Yes, I have.
Therese?
Yeah.
We're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
East Orange, Irvington?
Mm-hmm. That's Essex County. I'm Hudson County, higher standards for water.
I hope. I grew up in, you know, Verona. It's not,
yes,
not
I
far.
I was in Verona the other day.
And my parents are still there. I'm like, oh, boy.
Do they have a Brita filter?
They have one of those things that's on the fridge. Is that a filter?
Well,
if it comes out of the fridge, I guess so.
Yeah, it filters through something.
Yeah, okay.
I have one of those filters on my tap.
Me too. I use that, and I change it every
yes.
three or whenever
yes.
it slows down.
The light, there's a light that changes.
Ours burnt out, but I
that means you need a new one.
No. I still, like, time it well because, like, it's
It's not the time, it's the amount of water that's flowed through the filter pad.
No, it's both. It's either, if it's regular use, it's 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
If it slows down, it's 3 months or 90 gallons, whichever comes first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so as long as you change it, like, pretty regularly, or if you watch how long it's slowing down. But the actual fixture stopped blinking, which, because it's old, but we changed the actual filters on the fixture.
Right.
So that's, it's still
okay.
good. Anyway.
Tap talk.
Tap
with Therese and Pat.
Yeah. I like water.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of it.
It's
important.
Healthy. It's healthy.
Yeah. It's important. It's needed for life.
Speaking of bad things that a lot of people have that they don't know that's bad, what's your guys' take on Teflon pans? I'm not a fan.
Don't they? Doesn't that cause Alzheimer's or
it
something?
It causes Alzheimer's. It causes types of cancer. If you cook on scratch Teflon, it's like the worst.
And that stuff's
for you.
Easy to scratch.
Yeah.
Cast iron, man.
Cast iron or stainless steel, copper. They make like a
ceramic.
They make a ceramic copper mixture that's like the equivalent of Teflon, but it's better for you.
Right.
And yeah, I've just been like, I don't know. I've always been in situations where like, you know, you have to break it to the person that has the pans, and you're like,
no.
That's news to me, though. I don't cook a lot, but I didn't know Teflon was
Teflon.
A thing.
The
How about aluminum? Aluminum.
Aluminum is okay if it's it's the same thing. If it doesn't get Teflon's okay technically if it's not scratched.
Like asbestos.
But it's so easy. Yeah, if it's not, it's like asbestos. If it's not disturbed, it's
right.
Okay. But it's so easy to scratch, and it's easy to scratch aluminum as well.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard to, it's not really good.
Okay.
201, dead hug.
Educational.
Yeah.
Very educational show tonight.
Yeah. Public service announcements.
Yes. We don't have any call. Oh, yeah, we do have a call.
Oh.
Want to go to it?
Yes.
Here comes, actually, Joe's not done screening it, I don't think.
Joe Duffy, ladies and gentlemen. Host of Peaceful Solutions.
Peaceful Solutions.
WFMU.
Playing the hip hop.
Yeah.
Fridays into
Saturdays. You're up late on Friday or early on Saturday.
You're Joe on Duffy. With Mike and Therese.
Yes, and Therese, you hung up on me.
I did not hang up on anybody.
Okay, you made a mistake.
I'm on the other side of the board.
Sorry.
That's true.
I have one quick contribution because Mike brought up wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, last year, last Christmas, my brother made us watch, like, a pay-per-view special for WWE because he, like, subscribes to the streaming service or whatever, and he needs to watch every single one. So, to be polite, I watched with him, and now I'm a subscriber because, oh, my God, Asuka and Sasha Banks are so hot. And also, it made me nostalgic because in high school, my brother and I would watch Women of Wrestling together, which is like a GLOW sort of successor.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yes.
So we would watch WOW together, and there was this one girl named Riot that I was obsessed with, and she had a baseball bat.
I remember Riot, and I remember WOW.
Thank you. So, like, one thing I always remember is that I think it was a production-made sign. Someone messed up, and they spelled Riot Royt, and I think about that a lot. But also, I won't go into details about, like, what I thought about her doing with a baseball bat to me, because that's, like, not safe for work, and this is a family show. And also, I think people should pay for porn, and one of my favorite websites is ultimatesurrender.com. I highly recommend it. Like, they also hire, like, non-binary and gender non-conforming people, so, like, I'm all for it, and also it's, like, super-duper hot. If you like to watch women, like, holding each other down and wrestling, it's very good. Like,
okay.
I watch Olympics,
right.
Japanese wrestling.
Okay.
And it's very good. So that's all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Lori.
Glad you got that in there, Lori. Wow. Well, we can't compete with Lori tonight.
She's hosting next week.
She'll be a co-host next time. I actually was a co-worker of a woman who worked with GLOW. She wasn't on the television program.
Uh-huh.
But she was part of the touring GLOW.
Is that like farm team? So you can.
It was just a way to maximize profits. You know,
that
they could have different people touring while they had the people doing the show. I haven't seen the series on Netflix. I actually gave her. I had somebody gave me a copy of the first season. I don't know if it's still on, but it's on Netflix. A show about GLOW.
It's great.
Is it? Yeah, yeah.
I like
some breeze in it.
Yep.
And I remember watching it on television, you know, and it was funny. I was into wrestling at the time. I was a young man. I think once you reach a certain age, you should try to put wrestling behind you. That may be controversial.
Yeah, thing Brett. To say. Sorry, Brett Davis.
I mean, you know, I understand, you know, there it's a little more out and open about
Paul Bruno.
About
not to name names.
About,
no.
Yeah, about that it's a stage thing. They're a little more open about that, but I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, I reached a certain age and then it no longer appealed to me.
But Mike, The Wrestler was filmed in Bayonne.
Yeah, well, that was
at
my little brush.
At your supermarket.
When the one trick pony gone never number.
Yeah, Bruce. But where was I going with
I
that?
I have no idea.
But anyway, she toured with a GLOW unit, one of their traveling units. And I didn't know, maybe I vaguely remembered, that Sylvester Stallone's mother was involved with that.
With GLOW?
Yeah. Do you remember
her persona?
She was, no, I think she was sort of like the casting person.
Oh, okay. She wasn't on
So that's how my friend got involved with it. She had a meet with her. I think she knew somebody who knew her, and that's how the whole thing got rolling. And so, yeah, that was kind of an interesting little story talking about her experiences. What, I can't remember her first name, Mrs. Stallone, but she was a character for a while. She'd show up on talk shows and things.
Remember Sylvester Stallone made a movie with Estelle Getty called Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
Yep. Yes, yes.
That's all I got on okay. Stallone and Mothers.
Eventually, they're going to run out of stuff to do with Rocky reboots, and somehow that storyline will merge with it somehow.
It'll be the child of, I don't know. No, I didn't, I can't, Pat.
I'm surprised he didn't, I'm surprised Rambo's never made the canon by now.
What, Rambo versus?
Rocky.
Rocky?
Yeah. Just do a big split screen. You know,
would cut down on salaries because you'd only have to pay one guy.
Or would you?
What?
Would it double the salary?
What?
201-332-3484. That's 201-332-3484. Depravity's Rainbow with Mike and Therese.
I think everybody's at the Yola Tango show tonight.
Yeah, I wonder who the guest was. I could check.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From raspberry lemon lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing cherry and Palavo pineapple mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
Hoboken Jack, if you're out there, tell us who the guest is.
Is he going to every single one?
I don't know, but he is there this evening because he got like a VIP fancy.
Then that means he's been at every single one because I think he's posted yesterday and
This is the third night.
Tonight's the
third, yeah.
Third night.
Third crazy night.
Mm-hmm. Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Yes. Hoboken Jack. Let's get that bed music going.
But I guess there is some sort of difference between what we're hearing and what people on the phone are hearing.
Yeah, Tom was adamant.
Yeah, it sounded like he
was very angry.
We're not.
And it must have been on a delay because when I killed it on the board, he was like, "Oh!" And I was like, "What is going on?"
Well, I think you just turned it down a little bit. Not totally.
No, on the board I killed it. Like I pulled it all the way down, and then it was still somehow. On a delay, I don't think
you know how to use this as well as you think you do.
I don't. No, I've admitted on Meet My Friends, the Friends, the other show we do, that if Studio is 100% on this board, I'm about 70.
Oh, I was able to hang up on someone.
Actually, they were still on it.
Give me something,
Sorry.
Pat.
I can't find Hoboken Jack.
Well.
Because I'm on the best show Instagram, maybe. Anyway, we are in the almost 11 o'clock hour. And the topic originally...
Signs of decline.
Signs of decline.
We got a few cornhole.
Yes.
We hit a nerve there.
Let's review. So we've got cornhole.
Cornhole. Beeping at people coming out of adult bookstores
yep.
is fun.
MMA? Are you for it or against it?
I like just regular boxing, so I'm against it.
Cell phones in bars. I'm going to throw another topic out there.
Yes.
How about Hanukkah disasters? We hear about Christmas disasters, but I don't think we hear enough about Hanukkah disaster stories.
201-332-3484. That's 201-DEAD-HUG. Let's go to line.
The whole point of Hanukkah was a disaster was averted.
But, I mean, you know, just
right?
about every year there's a news story about a menorah setting fire to a home. There can be serious consequences. If they're, you know, not
if
using,
menor-
if they're using a, you know,
open flame,
as opposed to the electric menorah, with Christmas celebrants, it was always the real trees would catch flame every
because
once
they would
in a
dry
while.
Out.
It would get dry
and they'd heat from the lights,
and they'd be dangerous. But you know, the menorahs can be dangerous too. And I think there was it last year, recently, there was a really horrible story where I think young children were killed. Even it was terrible. I'm not looking for those types of stories. I'm looking for just you know unusual gifts. You know, maybe some dreidel catastrophes. Kids throwing a dreidel around. Maybe somebody. You know, swallowed a dreidel. They're some of them are small.
Like when David Bowie got hit in the eye with the lollipop stick.
Uh huh.
Like
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, you can get, did that happen?
Yeah,
to
that happened
yeah.
to him.
Yeah.
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 Similar. I can see a dreidel.
I've missed
the,
you, Mike.
A dreidel to the eye.
I've missed you.
Not the blunt end. The spinning end.
That could be worse.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Avril Lavigne called him David Bowie at an award show?
No, did she?
She was, for whatever reason, the presenter, and she...
Well, she'd probably been reading the name, and maybe nobody in her circle ever said the name correctly.
So
that happens. People...
So she said David Bowie.
That happens.
Yeah.
I remember,
did
you know...
Did she get him... Was she, like, shamed?
She was shamed on those talking head shows of the era.
Was there like, social media at the time?
Yeah. It was, like, in best week ever kind of time frame. So, yeah.
Did Paul
I'm sure he zinged her, yeah. You want to go to line one?
Yes.
Sure.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I can't barely hear you at all.
How about now?
It's a little bit better, but it's still pretty quiet.
It's
it could
on a
be
delay.
My phone, though.
It's definitely on a delay.
Okay.
I don't know why the bed music's on a delay. But
well,
okay.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Jonas. I'm calling from Chicago.
Hello, Jonas.
And I just wanted to say that I'm really excited that Mike's finally taking over the show.
I'm not taking over the show. Come on. I'm not taking
no,
over
no,
the
I'm
show.
Glad that you
Lori took over tonight's
yeah,
show.
I mean, Lori
was, you know, she like I said, you know, I'm going to keep using the phrase. She daddy taught me. You know, I learned.
Saying squirt.
I learned a new phrase tonight. And so, yeah, I mean, nobody... Beat Lori, and she even came back for an encore. So
I think she drank the whole of that 9-point-something beer.
Well, I missed the first hour. I only heard her last call talking about her favorite
Well, go back and
website.
Listen to the first one. You're going to have a treat there. What did you want to talk about tonight?
I did have a question for you specifically, Mike.
Okay.
And... I know the show is named after it, but I'm like 100 pages into Gravity's Rainbow. And do I need, like, do you have a master's degree? Do you need to be, like, very well educated to read this book?
you know, I think I've told this story before where my one attempt at reading the book, you know, I made it very far, though my comprehension was very low. I mean, it was one of those books where, you know, I plowed ahead, wasn't really following it clearly, but I was plowing ahead, and then I think I had about 100 pages left, and I left it on a bus, and I said, you know, why get another copy? I wouldn't have understood those last 100 pages either. So I can't really help you there. I mean, I think there's some sort of skeleton key to Gravity's Rainbow. Somebody wrote a book, I guess, giving you a lot of background information about World War II and the rocket, the V rocket experiments and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the book sort of, you sort of have to just sort of plunge into it and kind of do background history on a lot of the themes that come up in the book. And, you know, I wasn't prepared for it. You know, I like his dumb books, you know, like Vineland and Inherent Vice. And
yeah. Yeah, I read Inherent Vice and I loved that. Yeah. So.
What's the other one?
I just know you're very well read, something so I thought something. I would ask your opinion as I'm trying to trudge through this.
Bleeding, what's the bleeding one?
The Crying of Lot 39.
Well, that's the short one. That's the one everybody takes a crack at. I read that one and I was still kind of mystified.
I couldn't make sense of the first chapter or two, and I put it down.
Yeah.
Life's short.
Yeah, I thought Inherent Vice was a lot easier to read than The Crying of Lot.
What's the one that came after that? Bleeding something?
Bleeding Edge,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed that, too. You know, there were okay. little things in there that were, like, funny and I could, you know, enjoy. It wasn't a total head-scratcher. Like his early books. I tried to read V once, and that didn't get too far.
Just watch the TV show.
I just discovered a...
It's about aliens. They're lizard people.
I just discovered a writer. I've had his books for years. I remember getting the books because Flannery O'Connor liked this author.
Mm-hmm.
His name is John Hawkes. And his first book came out, like, in the late 40s. You know, he passed away, like, in the mid-90s. He was a teacher at Brown University. But, you know, he's written a fair number of books over the years. And they're relatively short, you know. He doesn't give you these giant, difficult books. And, you know, they're not easy reads. But there's, like, it's kind of so interesting that you keep going. I read The Cannibal and Second Skin. I'm reading The Lime Twig right now. I'm sort of like going head, sort of plunging head first with this author because I like him. But, you know, if you're looking for something a little challenging, but you can still enjoy it, I would recommend him.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, thank you. For...
Yeah. If Pynchon doesn't do it for you, you know, maybe give him a shot.
And then I had one more question for you. What's your favorite a dead show, like live show?
Yeah, well, Tom.
Is this e-cigs? This is e-cigs,
yeah,
isn't it?
No, this is not.
He's pushing my buttons, right?
Yeah.
And then he's going to pull it out at the end?
Because you're giving him everything he wants to hear.
Uh-huh.
The guy who wrote, Pynchon, that guy, and then, yeah.
No, the show Tom trashed, which I gave to him, it's the famous the Cornell show, 5877.
Okay.
But I like a show for I like 73 through 74. I like those shows. 11-11-73 is a really good one.
I mean, I just really can't believe that Tom can't get down with like China Cat Sunflower and Do I Know You Rider.
Yeah, well, you know, music's a funny thing. People like different things, and I know why people don't like the Dead. You know, I acknowledge that they're kind of a bar band. You know. Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen is a bar band to me. I love him, you know. I think, but he's a bar band to me.
But he's a bar band with depth.
Yeah.
Not always. Not always.
He's a lover, mama's boy.
Did you? There's an article, an interview with him in Esquire. Have you seen that?
I haven't read it yet.
Okay. It's interesting. You know, he's talking about difficult issues he's had with his mental health, and I guess I haven't seen the Broadway show.
I haven't either.
But it's coming on Netflix in a couple weeks.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I'll watch that. I'm interested to see what it is.
I wish I waited for that, actually.
Instead of
The Broadway.
Read the book?
No, instead of the...
Pat went to it. Yeah, he's talked about him seeing it. Yeah.
Wasn't impressed.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Sorry.
Well, it's okay. All right. Thank you for... I'll let you guys continue the Springsteen talk because I think he's kind of a bore.
Yeah. Well, you know who I did see at the Springsteen on Broadway show before I let you go, caller?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a guy who had e-cigs for legs. I hung up on him.
You got him, yeah.
I got him that time.
Did he have the right area code? Is that why you were suspicious?
No, I just was suspicious. I never know. I know you know who it is, and you won't tell me or do to you.
Oh, yeah, I did make contact with the e-cigs guy.
Was that him? No.
Well, I can't recognize his voice. I still have difficulty. You know, all these years I've been involved with the show, young guy voices, they tend to blur to me, you know? Yeah. Unless they have some sort of distinctive higher or lower register.
Yeah.
It's generic. You know, it's...
You want to go to line two?
Sure.
Dudes.
Yeah.
You're on with Mike and T.
Oh, I don't know if I like that.
Therese.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think I called you T a couple times. You never voiced...
I pursed my lips and just went... Mm,
what if I said M and T? T and M.
T and M.
No.
Caller, you're on with them. Please speak.
Hi there. This is Steven. I'm in New York.
Hi, Steven.
It's very quiet, so hello, everybody.
Very good.
I just kind of wanted to tack on to the book talk mm-hmm. with forgetting a book in the bus.
Uh-huh.
I was reading a Marquez book, and I've tried, and it just doesn't speak to me. Mm-hmm. But I was reading Chronicle of a Death Foretold,
mm-hmm.
and I was about 80 pages of something like 100 pages total,
mm-hmm.
and it just had never excited me,
mm-hmm.
and a bird crapped in the book as I was reading outside of a coffee shop just under an awning, so I threw that book in a garbage nearby.
Okay. That's a short one. That's a relatively short book by him, right?
Yeah, and it still couldn't just... A bird literally... did its business in it, so that was
never tried. 100 Years of Solitude.
I have, and I also didn't finish it.
Well, that's a hard
nothing.
The hard thing about that book is
everyone has the same name.
Yeah, the names drive you crazy.
The names are funny.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. There are beautiful scenes, but
yeah, I like that one. I like
Time of Cholera.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I really like
which one?
Love in the Time of Cholera.
Ah,
that's
yeah.
Should I try it?
Yeah. It's straightforward. It's more straightforward. Not. No,
oh, you think I'm,
not lots
think
of
I'm
names.
A simpleton.
No, but it's, I mean, I, everybody
has
time.
There 100 people named Aureliano in Love at the Time of Cholera.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really all I had. I've read some of Pynchon's short fiction, though, and I quite liked it, but after that I drop out.
What, Slow Learner? Yeah, I read some interesting things in there.
Yeah. A little more readable. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks, Steven.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
I liked News of a Kidnapping. Did you read that, Gabriel Garcia Marquez?
No.
It's more of like a straight reporting kind of thing about Colombia and the drug cartels and kidnapping and, and...
Wait, did I hang up on this guy?
I don't know, Pat.
Okay, sorry.
He's asking us.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Keep going.
News of a Kidnapping.
Okay. I had, the next one I was going to read, but it's sometimes you should just flip through a book before you get it, was Autumn of the Patriarch, which I guess is sort of loosely based on Trujillo. He was
the Dominican Republic.
It's based sort of loosely on him. It's not really, but then you look at the book, it's one continuous paragraph. So there's no breaks, you just got to plow through it, and that's kind of just a strain on the eye, you need the sort of, I do anyway, at my age, it is, the eyes are sort of dimming, and to sort of just have to plow through a book length paragraph.
I think if you're going to go for a Trujillo, I enjoy Julia Alvarez.
Oh, okay.
In the Time of the Butterflies, how the Garcia girls lost their accents.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they talk about that time.
Those are set in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm.
I've read a little bit about the history of it. I'm sort of vaguely familiar with that.
And, you know, Juno Diaz, although he has become problematic.
Yeah. I never read the big, what's his
the
big
Brief
book?
Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm aware of that book.
It's good.
Yeah. No, it's got a, I remember, it was in my radar.
Jersey.
Yeah. And, but I just never got around to it. But yeah, I know there's stuff going on with him. Yeah.
So, do you want to talk about the Grateful Dead, or do you want to not talk about the Grateful Dead?
Is that the next call?
Oh, is there a...
Yeah.
I'll keep it brief, because I I know it irks people. I don't, you know.
So you want to go Grateful Dead, GD?
Quick. We'll do a quick, you know.
Dead Talk with AP Mike and Therese.
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, this is Martin from Albany.
How's it going, Martin?
I'm well. How are you?
All right. Good.
I did have a question, which was if you listened to or saw any of the Bob Weir-like shows that he did as a trio?
No. I mean, Bob Weir is not my favorite part of the Grateful Dead, you know.
Who is your favorite part of the Grateful Dead?
Yeah.
Jerry Garcia.
Well,
you know.
Okay, beyond. Who's number two?
Well, Phil, you know, is more interesting musically. I mean, Bob Weir had a period where I could tolerate his voice. I mean, the Grateful Dead, again, another band with bad voices, but they had good songs. They had better songwriting than Fish. You know, I understand that their voice is great for people. They don't have good voices. That's why I say they're a bar band. But, you know, all their voices deteriorated for me over time. I was kind of done with them by the 80s. You know, once Brent Midland arrived, I don't like the music from that point on. You know, I felt like he was like middle of the road, like musician. And I was like, what's this guy doing in the band? I described his piano playing, electric piano playing, to like an ice cream truck. So,
why would you describe it to an ice cream truck?
Well, you know, the bells. It just had like it had this tinkly sound to it.
Okay, you likened
it. Yeah, I likened
to
it.
The
yes,
music of
I misspoke. I likened his playing.
I have a vision of you trying to befriend a Mr. Softy truck.
No, and when I'm saying this, I'm hearkening back to the Good Humor trucks, which I had actual bells. the bells. I mean, yeah, that's lost to the fog of time. The Good Humor trucks that had bells. I mean, you know the Mr. Softy with that recorded.
That's the Mr. Softy.
And didn't they have the theme from what's the Paul Newman and Robert Redford movie? That was
The Sting?
The Sting, yes. Some trucks have that as the theme music.
I heard one with the Godfather.
Oh, really?
The Godfather theme. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
pretty cool.
I only heard it once. Yeah.
All right. That's a new topic.
Yeah,
we got a new topic.
I only heard it once.
Best ice cream truck themes you've heard. But anyway, yeah. No, I mean, as far as Brent Midland, once he arrived, I was kind of done with them.
I had, like, the same exact opinion as you, like, before I went to one of these shows in Syracuse, mostly just because my friend was going, but my first reaction was like, I would rather see Phil Lesh, like, why would I want to go to that? And then I went, and it was actually, I don't know if it was just because I had little expectations or what, but it was like way better than I expected.
Well, all right, okay.
It was very cool.
You go,
low expectations will always be exceeded.
I received free tickets to, friend of the show, worked for MSG, and they had free tickets for The Dead and Company with John Mayer's involved now. And
yeah.
I went in with the zero expectations, and it was better than I thought. So the key to seeing any Grateful Dead affiliated thing is to have zero expectations going into the show.
They will at least be met.
And maybe you'll find a moment that you actually enjoy.
Did they do... Your body is a wonderland.
No, they steer clear of the John Mayer catalog.
I want to walk
entirely
through the walls of
yeah,
your
that's
high
what he gets
school.
Paid for, I think. I think he gets paid not
wow,
to
you
do
know more than me.
Not to do any of his songs.
I want to scream at the top of my lungs.
Yeah, he's deep. He went deep.
I
what
saw
years
him in a
these?
Coffee shop once.
He's tall. He's a tall MF-er.
He was wearing sweatpants.
But isn't he a tall MF-er? He's taller than me.
He was sitting, but he was wearing sweatpants.
I don't like, care what he's wearing. There. I mean, he's tall.
Well, I couldn't tell that he was tall, Patrick, because he was sitting down.
I saw him once.
I called you Patrick.
That's fine. Because, you sound like my aunt when you do that.
Thanks. Did you just call me old? Thanks.
No! My aunt. All right.
Oh, here we go.
Sorry. Thanks a lot.
I'll make it up to you. I want to walk through the walls of my high school. I want to scream top of my life. What's your favorite John Mayer song, caller? Bodies of Wonderland. Great.
Yep.
Is it even
I don't think
that?
I know any other ones.
No, he's a handsome guy, right? What if him and John Stamos switched and... John Mayer would be in the Beach Boys for the rest of time, and then John Stamos joined the Grateful Dead, but they never really discussed why. It just happened.
And would John Mayer then go on to be on Fuller House?
Yep. They would. It'd be like Vice Versa, Freaky Fridays.
But with John's...
Switcherama.
No.
With John's...
He could be sort of the inverse Drake.
Yeah.
Where it's a white guy who starts off in music and then goes into television.
Could
whereas
be.
Whereas Drake started in television and became a musician. Are you feeling me?
No. No.
Okay. I went out on
if
a limb.
If you start singing Hotline Bling, though, everything will change.
Yeah. Seems like everything sounds like Drake now, though.
I've had just about enough of this Drake. I'm at the point where I want to say, hey, Drake, give me a break.
But isn't Drake spilling over to other... rappers that like everything's starting to sound like Drake. Oh, speaking, let's segue out of the Drake talk. I worked a concert. I'm working at Prudential Center now too, and I worked a concert for Travis Scott, who, you know, Travis Scott. I didn't know the name. I'm like, oh, there's a country guy playing. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm gonna get a lot of drinkers in this crowd. Well, Travis Scott is not a country guy. He's a hip hop guy. And, you may have seen a story in the news. This was on social media. Tommy Lee from,
Motley Crue?
Motley Crue, yes. What's his last name?
Lee?
It's Tommy Lee is his last name.
Well, that's his professional name.
Oh, okay.
Did you read The Dirt?
Going back to
books?
No.
That was a fun one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Tommy Lee is objecting. It turns out Travis Scott has I didn't peek at the stage, but I heard people talking about there's a roller coaster that part of the stage set up for Travis Scott. And
was this inside Mall of America?
this is what he's traveling around. Not only did he have a roller coaster on stage, he had a giant inflatable head outside the Prudential Center.
Which he got at...
Pink Floyd's garage sale.
Pink Floyd's garage sale. Thank you. I'm slowing down.
No problem.
Well, unfortunately,
you know which jokes I'm going to be.
The inflatable was his head with his mouth half open, forming a tunnel, so you could walk underneath this inflatable. Yeah, it was quite something to see.
Why is Sonic Youth in my cooler?
but anyway, so now Tommy Lee's
Homer Simpson smiling politely.
He feels like Travis Scott ripped him off. Because Tommy Lee had some sort of roller coaster. I remember that. I saw some of the video.
It was like in a...
And it turned
like a
over
hamster
and stuff.
Wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it turns out that the company who did the stage setup for him also did the stage setup for Travis Scott.
Uh-huh.
So that's more evidence to him that he was ripped off. And that he's going to be seeing a lawyer.
Well, I think his problem is trying to make a whole thing up.
So ridiculous. Anyway.
Anyway.
Here's what I'll say about that.
All right. You wait until we're almost done with the show to break out the sound effects,
yep.
Pat. I mean, you know, why don't we
worked this out in the beginning of the show.
You know, yeah, I should have
had some more.
I kind of forgot I had them until I was messing around on this computer.
You could have used them during Lori's calls.
I really wish I did, actually. Uh-huh. I forgot that I had this. Hold on a second. Let me figure this out.
Speaking of music and books, the Beastie Boys have a book out called simply The Beastie Boys Book, which is, you know, straightforward title.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so I'm reading the review. I haven't read the book yet, but I'm reading the review, and it starts off talking about I saw the Get Off My D tour, and if I don't know if you recall that first tour they went out
with
19
Madonna and Brian
no
DMC?
No I saw them in 87. It was License to Ill had come out. It was like pretty much I think their first tour. And I saw them at the Capitol Theater with Murphy's Law and Public Enemy opening.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was a phenomenal show. And I had, like, second row seats. So it was a great show. I had great seats. And in the review, they mentioned that part of the climax of the show was they had a hydraulic penis that would rise to the ceiling behind them at the end of the show. And this, they haven't gotten rid of the hydraulic penis. It's in a storage facility in New Jersey.
That they're paying $300 a month for?
They've been paying 30 some odd years. Like 30 some odd years.
To dispose of it responsibly.
Right. But I guess maybe there's some memories attached to it.
Wait, are we still on the phone with someone?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still here, but I didn't know the etiquette.
Okay. But so anyway, the review opens talking about this hydraulic penis is still out there in the storage unit in New Jersey. And then it sort of gets into how over the years, I guess they regretted the hydraulic penis and some
of
their antics.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. And I'm not defending bad behavior.
You're talking about the Beasties, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not defending bad behavior on fans. I mean, their music to me, I mean, they're talking about doing angel dust and all this stuff. It was like characters. It's like, I don't know why anyone would ever really take it seriously.
That was their take on it, too, and mm-hmm. they were very surprised. Well,
you know,
they did not expect to get as good as they were and for people to take them as seriously as they did.
Yeah,
they were singing about angel dust and...
Right, and you know, I mean...
Girls was sung with irony.
Yes.
I was still relatively young at the time, and I knew it was a joke. All my friends knew it was a joke. I don't know how you could not know it was a joke. And then the hydraulic penis, I mean, to me, that's just like, wow. You know, it's like, to me, that show was hysterical. I was laughing through the whole thing. They were throwing out free beers.
It was like Commedia dell'arte.
They were throwing out free beers. I caught a free beer. And, but then, you know, in the review, they're talking about, you know, how they sort of repented, so on, and Adam Yao, you know, got very serious with Buddhism and the Dalai Lama. And I'm reading this and I'm like, you know, why not the hydraulic penis and the Dalai Lama? Why can't we have the high and the low? Why is it always like one is inferior to the other? I'm making a case for the hydraulic penis and the Dalai Lama. If anybody goes away from this show tonight, I want them to think about that. Why can't it be both?
I was trying to get to the applause as quick as I could, but I didn't get it. Here you go, Mike.
All right, I'm off my soapbox.
201-332-3484. That's 201-332-3484. Depravity's Rainbow, and it's final. We'll say, what are we going to do?
Yeah, next call, and then we'll wrap it up, I guess. If we
thanks
get a
for
call.
Calling, sir. You're on Depravity's Rainbow.
Hi, yes, this is Oscar from Elgin, Illinois.
Hello.
Hi, Oscar.
Hey, I got a quick question to ask you guys about, since we were talking about books.
A couple months back, I was just really getting into Thomas Pynchon. I don't know how to pronounce his last name correctly.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it.
And, I mean, I've been trying to tackle Gravity's Rainbow. It's kind of hard. I can kind of get it, but I kind of stopped reading it a little bit. I noticed that he likes to fool around with other languages, French and Spanish. I noticed that a lot in Inherent Vice. He talks a lot in Spanish, and same thing with and crying loud of 49. Mm-hmm. So my question is this: so back in 1988, Thomas Pynchon wrote an article about how much he liked Gabriel Garcia Marquez's and the love of Tunicolera. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming he's a hardcore fan. Mm-hmm. And I read 100 Years of Solitude, and that's a fantastic book. Mm-hmm. So my question to you guys is: do you think his Thomas Pynchon's writing? Was he trying to do like an American version of magic realism?
No, I wouldn't put him in there.
No?
No, I think he's distinctive. I think he's kind of his own thing. You know, he's probably got influences that people can pick out, but I don't know. I think he's kind of a unique voice. You know, I never really got like a heavy vibe that, oh, he sounds like so-and-so. You know, you read like Cormac McCarthy, like his early books, and it's like he swallowed William Faulkner whole. I mean, those books are just, it's like he's ripping them off, you know? But then
that is how William Faulkner died, Mike.
but then he sort of got his own thing going in his later years with the Southwestern books and what he does now.
As I lay dying, Cormac McCarthy ate me.
Yeah. That's yeah, he did. I mean, you read those books, and it's like, oh, wow. You know, it's like, he really liked William Faulkner a lot. I never get a feeling for, like, reading Pynchon, like, oh, he's doing his thing. You know, he endorses different writers that he likes, and they don't sound like him either, you know? So I think he's just kind of a unique voice.
All right, that's all I got for you guys. A great show. Thank you again for taking my call.
Okay. Thanks, Oscar.
Thank you. We got another one here.
All right, let's keep it going. We'll keep it going if you're calling. 201-332-3484.
Hey, Mike. It's Mike in Queens. How are you?
Hey, Mike in Queens.
How you doing?
Formerly Mike, Mike from Manhattan.
That's right.
For the old timers, right. if you recall.
I remember Mike from Manhattan.
Yeah, good guy. He's a dad now. He's a dad.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you. Quite a lot has happened in the past couple of years. I don't think I've called.
Well, you're busy. You're busy.
Yeah.
You know, you got things happening.
That's right. That's right. Family man. You know, just trying to do my best. Just trying to have it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kicking it.
Yeah.
You kicking it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got them living that dad life pretty hard.
Frank from Manhattan still on the scene?
Oh, he's still around. I see him. I told him that he was encouraged to call tonight because I was also planning on it as well. But we didn't have time to choreograph anything elaborate.
In the old days, when Mike would call, you always call first, generally, right?
I think, yeah, probably. Because then I would call Frank and say, or I would text Frank and say, hey, I just called. You call in now.
So when Mike from Manhattan at the time would call, you would just sort of wait for the second shoe to drop, and then, you know, here comes Frank from Manhattan. I enjoyed it, you know? It's like, it was a nice little regular thing that happened on The Best Show back in the old days.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's only helped like support, you know, if I, you know, had some crazy thing that I wanted someone else to agree with, you know, just for anything really, to have somebody else just call in, you know, 15 minutes later and say, yeah, I completely agree with that guy, you know, it just works. Uh-huh. It just works. And, especially if it's like talking about something like horrific, like, you know, growing up. Which is just
rocks?
No, he had the story. Oh, I just had a flashback. The mother's clothes story.
Oh yes.
Oh. Was that our first show? Did you call in with that one, or was that a later show?
Oh.
But, I mean, that story was, wow, yeah, that was a mind-blowing
one.
Yeah, yeah. People can go back and look for that call from the archives.
Oh,
it was a classic.
Goodness.
I can't do it justice in a brief amount of time we have. But classic story.
It's been a good life.
A classic story, yeah. A full life.
A very full life, yeah. If I went out right now, I'd be fine. It was pretty packed. I think I've got enough in there, I think.
Is that like your go-to sort of mind-blower story if you just want to, like, get a sort of mind-blowing, you know, reaction from somebody? Is that your sort of go-to?
No, if they're from Jersey, I say that I destroyed the Jose Teos neon sign on Route 1. I'll say that.
Yeah, okay.
As long as it wasn't the one on 46.
No, never.
Did you tell that story? I don't think I heard that one.
No.
Okay. All right, a little act of vandalism?
Sure, yeah.
A little vandalism? Yeah.
Angry young man in New Jersey.
Now, I did some graffiti. It was like some, you know, I didn't have a tag. I didn't get into the whole that graffiti type stuff. There was a bike path that went to Manasquan Beach, and there was like an overpass. And we had some spray paint, and I did some artwork there. I don't know if it's still there. I always wondered if, you know, we really, you know, I mean, we did some huge artwork on this thing. And I wonder how long it lasted, you know, if people remember.
Are in Manasquan.
Let's see, what after you did it, did you stand back and reflect, like, the most positively, being like, you know what, that was worth it.
Yeah,
That looks pretty good.
It was at a time when I was doing, like, little cartoon figures. I was kind of artistic, believe it or not, when I was a young man. And I liked art class and stuff, and I was doing these little cartoon characters, and this character I did was sort of a beefy guy, you know, with big jowls, and, you know, I didn't even have a name for him, but I just sort
Richard Nixon.
No, he's like big guy, not, you know, this guy was big, and I would just draw, like, the head, the massive head, you know, he had, like, a head like a toilet, and you know, just the shoulders, you know, And that was kind of the character, and that's what I drew on his bridge. I drew this guy. I think maybe I called him Hank. I don't know what I called him. He looked like a Hank, you know. But, yeah, the head was enormous, you know.
And did you put, like, Hank says, you know, this, Eddie says.
I can't remember. I think I may have had him saying something, but I can't remember what I had him saying. Yeah, I think there was a little bubble. Thing. I think maybe it was like a put down of a friend of ours, you know, we were fighting with at the time.
Yeah. I never got too much into graffiti and all that. I just felt like it was just kind of like a whole other world for me to crack, and I wouldn't know where to stop with it.
Yeah, and it's on, you could get seriously fined, and yeah, it was that was my one act. I don't even know what provoked it that, you know, it was just a thing we thought of doing. It was a one-time deal. I didn't go start riding trains in New York and become one of those guys.
Hanging off the side of the one train.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I heard your Beastie Boys story, and you know, as far as show misses, I know I don't know if the topic still applies, even though it was on a entirely different show. If it's part of an entirely different universe, I don't want to disrupt the separate fabrics. But when I was like 15 or 16, I remember I grew up in Jersey too, and I had the aquarium, and I remember seeing a listing for Coney Island High, and there was it's like a listing for the show was Alleyway Crew and Quasar. Uh-huh. And I remember I was going to a lot of New York hardcore shows, and you know, knowing you know that like Alleyway Crew was like, you know, what I'm sick of it all's crew called themselves like the roadies, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, it's so lame. These guys can't get like their own name. They gotta like tag, you know, ride sick of it all's, you know, fame to get a show together. And I like looked at it and I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm, it still might be interesting, but yeah, you know, I'm not gonna bother with it. And then, and go. And the next day, this one kid who was like a year younger than me, he was like, you know, Mike, you know, you should have come with us to that show. I was like, well, yeah, were those bands any good? And he's like, yeah. He's like, Alleyway Crew was Sick of It All, and Quasar was the Beastie Boys.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
Was, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
And I remember, it's one of those things where you, like, stare at it. You know, you're like, you had that complete moment where it wasn't just, like, a passing moment. It, like, was a lingering moment.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you have this whole internal monologue with my conversation with myself about going or not going. And, of course, it would have been, I think that would have been pretty fun. But,
oh, wow. What year was that, do you know?
Probably would have been 95 or 96.
Okay.
And where was that show?
Coney Island, huh?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You remember that place?
Yeah,
that
was...
that place.
It was weird.
The ceiling was too low.
Yeah, and you had a narrow stairway, right?
Yeah.
I remember that, you know. It's like, wow. How do you get out of this place?
Exactly.
Jesse Mallon, I think, was the owner.
Well, he was one of the owners,
was one of the owners.
Yeah.
And the reason Joey was always there is because he lived around the corner on 9th and 3rd. And I think he just liked that place, but he was close. He was always there in the Continental, right?
Oh, the Continental, yeah. Classic.
And he'd be like, hey, how's it going?
My wife and I were our first apartment together. We lived right across from Coney Island High, but it long ceased to be Coney Island High, but pretty wacky.
Mark's.
He's got another place, right, now, Jesse Mallon?
Yeah, I think he co-owns there. Niagara, and he also co-owns Bowery Electric.
That's the one, yeah. That's the one I'm thinking. I've seen a couple shows there.
Well, that's wild.
Are you bummed that the Continental's closing?
Nope.
Oh, I didn't even know it was still open. Wait, when you mentioned it, I'm like, I figured that was long gone.
It's been closing for 8 years. I mean, I'll be sad when I walk by and that sign isn't there. Like, that'll be sad, but I don't go in there.
Uh-huh.
And Trigger was never nice to me.
Yeah, I don't think that guy had a reputation for being nice to anybody. Yeah.
And by the way, who says he can wear that hat, you know?
True.
It's not... You, it's 2018. You can't walk around with that rice paddy hat. It's not cool. I don't care if your band all wore them or something. Nobody knows who your band is, so it doesn't. It's just.
Listen, Mark Mothersbaugh's not wearing that flower pot on his head.
Yeah.
So, take it off.
Yeah, Trigger.
That's the owner. I never got to know the owner. Every time I went to the Continental, I was generally so bummed. You know, it's like barely, you know, standing, you know.
I did go once.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did go once just randomly, and it was Dwarves were playing. And I kind of hung out in the back, and I didn't, you know, really think too much. I thought it was a good show. But when maybe like 6 months later, I guess somebody put a camera in my face as I was walking out, or as I was walking in, I don't really remember, but I made it onto the live DVD in the beginning, and it said, you know, something about how, you know, something like, you know, how there's actually no dwarves in the band, but, you know, something pretty obvious like that, but for some reason they put it in, along with some other pretty classy, a montage of other pretty classy people talking about their dwarves experiences, you know, before the show started. But it's a pretty good live show. It's called, I think the DVD is called, like, F You Up and Get Live or something like that. But it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like,
title. Yeah.
And then Hanukkah Mishaps, just every year, like, we had one night every Hanukkah was, like, Jewish book night. And that night always sucked. My brother and I could always choose which books, we could always choose which present we wanted for what night. And, like, you know, invariably, like, we would figure out, like, the one, if it looked like book, like, that was, like, night eight. And night eight always was just, like,
I like the fact that you're giving each other books. I mean, you know, that didn't happen very often in my house. I mean, there were lots of readers in my family, but books didn't really come in until we were adults, you know?
What you reading for? Gee, you stumped me.
Uh-huh. Did you get a bad book, or was there one that stands out as like, you know, why'd I get this, you know? Anything?
Well, like every year it was like some like, you know, a book about Jewish heritage or, you know, like, like the book, it was like, you know, always tied to Hanukkah or something like that. Okay. But, you know, it was just like, where's the, you know, like, oh, this sucks so bad. Like, where's the Genesis? Where's the Game Gear game or Genesis or, you know,
Another copy of The Human Stain.
Well, I've got him. Mike posted a great picture of him as a young man. And is that your brother with you in that photo?
Yeah, that's my brother.
Now, your brother's wearing a knee-length Clockwork Orange t-shirt. How old was he? Oh, that's you with the okay. Yeah. All right.
Me because of the red hair.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm mixing it up now. So you had a knee length. How old? You were like 12 or 13?
I think I was like 13 or 14 in that photo.
What was the style at the time?
How did you even see Clockwork Orange? Or did you just sort of know about it and you thought the shirt was cool?
Well, it was really popular because it was the year that the story took place. It was 1995,
96. Oh, really?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, really? I missed out on the whole thing. Oh.
It was supposed to be 95 in the story.
So had you seen the movie when you had the t-shirt? I guess
no, I had. That was one of two Clockwork Orange shirts I think I had at the time. I was obsessed with it.
Okay.
Like there was a, I grew up, there was a Palmer Video.
Oh,
and
which had an adult section.
I forget you.
The swinging doors?
Not swinging doors. Mine had like a zigzag, like a maze.
Oh, okay. So you couldn't see from.
No.
I don't think they ever put Clockwork Orange in the X section.
No, I think it was rated
X. Yeah. I think it was rated X when it came out.
I'm just saying that mine had one of those sections. But not to wrap this up, but we have a full phone bank.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Great.
Well, yeah. I loved Clockwork Orange. Yeah, I had seen it many times.
You snuck a video. You were able to watch the video.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, because it was from the 70s, I think, you know, my parents, like when I rented it, you know, the guys at Palmer Video, I'd been renting all kinds of, they've been renting me all kinds of stuff for years, so like they didn't really bat an eye, but and when I brought it home, you know, like my parents were pretty like strict growing up, so they would kind of monitor everything I was looking at, and like Clockwork Orange, I think they knew about it, but because it was so old, they just assumed like anything that old couldn't have been that offensive.
Wow.
Or, like, okay. You know, profane. So,
radar. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, that was yeah. I mean, that I look back and I was like, you know, the '90s. It was like, you know, I was like 4'11", like 100 pounds, soaking wet, and then like buying like XXL t-shirts. Like, the hell was I thinking?
It was a wild time.
We all
I mean,
had body dysmorphic disorder in the '90s.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a wild time, and you know. People didn't care what you rented. If it was an old movie, they're like, oh, this is an old movie. Have fun.
I feel like they don't card in it. Like at movie theaters, do they even card kids like for rated R movies? I feel like
they do now.
Where it's so far past that, but I guess, oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, Mike, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Yeah, great show, guys.
Thank you.
Right down the line. Line two.
Hello.
Michael.
Hey, who's this?
How are you, sweetheart?
Uh-oh, okay.
Yeah,
I recognize
the voice. I'm sitting in this Grove Street Dunkin' Donuts, and
lucky
I don't
you.
Want to go outside because it's cold out.
Okay.
And this guy thinks that I'm holding on the line for my girlfriend. She was trying to tell me to tell you that I love you.
Okay.
So, sir, this is for you. I love you.
All right, Mr. Murphy. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Hello, Michael. How's everything?
Good. Hobnobbing with the stars
doing?
Tonight?
Saving the world over there?
Yeah, we're saving the world.
You're right.
Yeah.
I just came back from King Kong. We had 900 homeless kids.
Oh, interesting.
And they fed them in the theater. It was a wonderful experience.
Oh, okay. Jimmy Murphy is a security on Broadway.
Okay.
He's working the King Kong show now. He worked the Springsteen show for quite a while. And, yeah, you probably saw him maybe.
I got tired of that gig, though. The same songs every day. Come on, Bruce. Let's mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, seriously, I agree.
Yeah.
But what I
like, working with the other big guy.
I like the fact that you were pretty much within touching distance of him every night. And actually, he stood on your shoulder, you told me.
Well, the first night I worked there, he stepped on my shoulder. I looked up at him, and he looked at me. And I was like, yeah, it's okay. I'll let it pass this time. Okay.
But
he was walking in, you were walking
out.
I saw him
every day, night, for like 3 months in a row. And if I bumped into him in a bar on Route 35, he would have no idea who I was. And it should be that way. It really should.
He knew how to keep his distance, even though he's in proximity to you every night for several nights in a row.
He's a handsome man. You know, I get nervous around handsome men. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were a working man. You would think... You know, you would have that working man bond going.
You would think that, but it doesn't seem to work that way. But I can't say anything bad about Bruce. Uh-huh. He's a lovely, sweet man.
Okay.
How about King Kong? Yeah.
King Kong.
King Kong.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story, right?
Another radio celebrity has been coming by. Miss Robin Quivers has been there maybe 4 or 5 times already to see the show. I'm not sure what the attraction is there, but she loves it. Mm-hmm. And she brought Jersey City's own Ralph Cirillo, who walked by me at this very same Grove Street Dunkin' Donut. Are you guys closing soon? He's giving me a look.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to let you go, Jimmy. Thanks for checking in from the Dunkin' Donuts in Jersey City, Grove Street.
Hey, I wanted to give you the updates in case you couldn't get on the website.
Okay.
To see what was going on.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Line 3.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Joe from Chicago.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
A couple years ago, a friend of mine asked me if I would go to a co-ed bachelorette party with her. I didn't know the people getting married, but she wanted me to go with her because it was taking place at an orgy house.
All right, here we go.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay,
sorry. Okay, so continue.
So I went with her. She told me she was almost positive that there wasn't going to be anything going on, that it was just a venue. Uh-huh. But, you know, I still went. And it was a very odd house. I mean, it was only there as an orgy venue. That's all it was. Uh-huh. Nobody lived there or anything. So there was a lot of, like, strange decor that just kind of to fill in the gaps, you know? Mm-hmm. Like weird paintings and things like that. But one of the weirdest things was a hallway, a huge hallway that was filled with nothing but Grateful Dead bootleg cassette tapes.
That's in an orgy house.
Yes.
It wasn't a commune. You know,
no, I mean, no commune.
Yeah, assume.
Uh huh. All right. Well, that's not what I'd expect in an orgy house. But
I didn't know what to expect, but yeah. It wasn't that.
Uh huh. And were they playing the tapes while you were there, or you know, I don't.
No, they weren't playing the tapes. It was just filling up space, I think.
Were they organized in any way, or were they just in like piles?
Oh no, they were like wall-mounted cassette tape racks.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Chronological?
I believe they were chronological.
It's some care. Some care taken.
So how did the event finish? I mean, was it uneventful or?
Basically uneventful. Uh-huh. The tours of the house were eventful, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. The entertainment? Like, was there entertainment?
Well, just nothing was in use.
Okay.
But, I mean, one of the rooms was the adult baby room. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those.
All right, okay.
That was odd.
Yeah. That's
giant crib wasn't the weirdest part, but there was a pile of hair next to the giant crib.
Okay, yeah, well.
I didn't care for that.
That's weird. One of my coworkers used to talk about neighbors of his that lived upstairs. And pretty much like every Saturday morning, he would hear like splashing in the tub and, you know, what sounded like a mother and her child, you know, like bathing a baby, you know, like somebody cooing and ahhing and, you know, making baby sounds. And then I think he met who he thought was the mother in the hallway and was saying something about, oh, you know, I've heard you and your child, you know, I haven't met your child. Well, of course, she didn't have a child. And that eventually was her lady friend, and they had some sort of one of those role-playing things going on. But, you know, hey, to each his own, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
As long as their bathtub wasn't leaking through the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Nobody got wet who didn't want to get wet.
Oh, Jesus.
Next call. I think we're ready to move on.
Call.
Thank you.
Last call. You're on with Terezin M.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
The board is once again coming from the cold.
Okay.
How are you, Mike?
I'm good. Who's this?
You know me. Gennady the Crocodile.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you've called the half hour of power a few times.
No, I also called the show.
Oh, okay. Too. All right. Okay.
So, I called in because one of the people in the chat,
mm-hmm. What chat
wanted to know your opinion on Harlan Ellison.
You know, I haven't read him. I mean, I guess I've seen, he wrote for television a lot, right? He wrote for, didn't he write for the Night Gallery and maybe Twilight Zone? And
he did Star Trek.
Star Trek. Too. Yeah, he wrote the famous Star Trek, right, when they go back in time.
City on the Edge of Forever.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm aware of him, you know. My brother was a big science fiction fan. He's got big collections of his. I've never read him, you know. I don't think I've read a story of his, but, you know, I'm aware of him. And like I said, my brother liked him. Is there something you'd recommend? For a starter? The stories? I mean, are the stories better?
All right. No, he did. I can't think of a starter. I read a bunch of his stuff years ago, and I kind of went through a phase. But if you can find it, there's a paperback called Dangerous Visions, and he edited that, and I think he put in a couple of his own stories. Mm-hmm. And it was a late 60s sort of anthology of all these science fiction stories, the things that they thought were really up there and out there and bleeding edge. Mm-hmm. And that's all the only thing I can think of. See, the thing is, I remember, like, the plots of the stories. I don't remember the titles of these things.
In general, I'm not really a big science fiction fan, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's limited what I've read. I think I've talked about this. I like J.G. Ballard. I don't know if he qualifies as science fiction.
Well, that's the funny thing is J.G. Ballard did write science fiction.
Yeah. No, I think he considered himself a science fiction writer, so... That's about the only science fiction.
No, it's just one of those things he worked in.
Mm-hmm.
One of those. I'm trying to think because I read through all of Gravity's Rainbow,
mm-hmm.
but then I'm one of those weird people who knows a lot about the space program and World War II, mm-hmm. and so when I read it,
you knew the
it
history.
All clicked.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it clicked.
You got to do the homework that book.
Yeah, it's like if you don't know it, mm-hmm. then it's hard. But if you've like if you're interested in the space program from the early days when they were, you know, like converting V2 rockets into the first US suborbital satellites, then yeah, you know something about that. And then it just kind of it all clicks if you know like the German rocket club and
yeah, there are three books over my lifetime that have, like, the bragging rights books. First, it was Ulysses, you know, James Joyce.
Yeah.
Like, all, you know, all the brainiacs read that. Then it was Gravity's Rainbow. And now it's Infinite Jest. Yeah, yeah. So.
See, the trick is I read Infinite Jest and War and Peace and Gravity's Rainbow and Ulysses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, did I already list Ulysses?
No.
But, all right, so yeah, I did read that, and I started on Finnegan's Wake, and it just like
that's
a thick porridge of a novel that you have to parse through slowly.
Mm-hmm. But
it's like
I've tried to read
one
little,
of the ones that I
tried to read Infinite Jest, and I know he's supposed to be funny.
It's not funny.
Read anything that I found any humor in his. I tried to read. I read the one. I read the essay collection.
I like that.
Yeah, and I did a supposedly fun thing.
I'll never do again.
I read that one.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Consider the Lobster?
I haven't read that one. I'd probably look into that next. But just the one story, the title story of that book, where, you know, he goes on a cruise. And then he's like locking himself in his room and watching, what was he watching, Titanic or something? He kept watching some movie over and over. I mean, I don't know. I'm reading this and I'm thinking, well, you know, this guy, he's got some issues, you know. This was before his unfortunate suicide. But just reading that piece, I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, I can understand him knocking cruises, and then he's got the one about state fairs, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you read that book, and it's like, all right, you know, I know what he's to me, it was like he was getting some easy jabs at these things, you know? But to me, it was easy. It was like shooting fish in a barrel, knocking a state fair, knocking a cruise, you know? But then he doesn't come off good, because then he comes off as like a guy who can't enjoy himself in any situation. You know, I'm like, make the best of it. You know, there's people there you can talk to, have a few drinks, relax. You know, go to the buffet. I mean, I've been on cruises. Like, you know, they're kind of silly. But it's like you can find things to enjoy yourself and, you know, just relax. That's what you're supposed to be there. But, you know, those two particular essays I'm reading, it's like, wow, this guy just can't enjoy himself anywhere, you know? And I see, well, you can go on YouTube. I'll go down these rabbit holes. You ever, like, just see interviews with people? You know, even, unfortunately, yeah, there's a lot of Charlie Rose interviews, yeah, with writers, you know? And I'm watching these videos of, with him and Jonathan Franzen, and those guys, I don't know. I mean, I've tried to read them, and they just don't seem like a very fun group. And I know they're supposed to be humorous, but I've never gotten it. I can't get it, you know?
I enjoy
all I can say about Infinite Jest,
like the corrections,
Infinite,
yeah,
Jest is a gigantic Shaggy Dog, mm-hmm, story, mm-hmm, and it's a satire of Kafka's, the one where Gregor Samsa becomes a
metamorphosis,
a giant bug.
Really? I never heard that about it, but I've heard, you know, I mean, I have.
No, I mean, that's what it's like, because the guy, the protagonist at the beginning, which is actually the end of the novel, has this complete freak out at a college when he's trying to apply to a college, and he completely freaks out because he's been smoking pot or something. I can't remember what drug trips him, but he just completely freaks out, and it's like there's that element of it at the, mm-hmm, but yeah, it's just this big mess. There's a magazine called The Exile, and they had John Dolan do a review of the book, and he just like rips it sideways because the drug knowledge in it is from an old Merck manual from the 70s, and it's not as great as people think it is. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say about Infinite Jest.
I don't know. I just
it's a
like,
big book.
I just
but
like
it's not a great book.
I like to enjoy the experience of reading when I'm reading. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not going at it.
You don't want to look up the 27,000 footnotes?
Well, no. Well, the footnotes, yeah, that was a killer. But, you know, I like to try and be able to enjoy it and just not be working through every paragraph, you know.
True.
You know, I'm not saying, like I said, I don't mind being challenged somewhat. And I was,
but you'd like to have it pay off.
Yeah, just give me something like I'm going on about John Hawkes, but his language is so poetic that like each sentence, it's like sort of like, wow, you know, it's like he's really got a unique style. And with David Foster Wallace, it's like, I don't see that. He's trying to, like, to me, he's like trying to impress you with his knowledge. You know, he's just like cramming so much knowledge in there. And
what? A white man trying to impress you with his knowledge?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
such
a thing.
He's just really sort of laying it on thick, and it's like, oh,
well,
God.
He doesn't have as much knowledge as he thinks he has?
Why they do that kind of
thing. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy to read, if you want to read like somebody who knew a subject but doesn't want to really impress you, and it's just part of the flow of the novel, it's The Hunters by James Salter. Because he was a fighter pilot in the Air Force.
I just read two of his books, Light Years.
Yeah.
Light Years, I thought was really good, and I read a sport and a pastime, which was, hey, you know, if you want some sexy stuff, I don't think I've ever read a book that had as much sex scenes in it. It actually got somewhat monotonous, but I really liked Light Years. It's a really good book.
Yeah, and but his novel, The Hunters, is about these Air Force pilots. Some of them are the Korean War people. A lot of them were World War II hangers-on who'd, you know, been flying piston fighters and then moved to jet fighters, and now they're flying against these MiGs, and they're very small jet planes that they're up against. And it's like that kind of, it's a problem kind of novel. And there is a sex scene, and the guy does fall in love with this Japanese girl. Mm-hmm. But it's like he brings out this knowledge, and it's like he doesn't lay it on with a trowel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to like flying books, mm-hmm. the best I think ever written was Thud Ridge, which is not a novel, but a memoir of what it was like to fly F-105 Thunder Chiefs over North Vietnam. And he just, the guy who wrote it, Jack Broughton, just lays it out, what it's like and how bad it can be and so on. And it's technical, but it's not so technical. And he's not trying to be smart. He's just trying to tell this so you understand how the whole thing works. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, flashiness to it.
All right.
It's just all very matter of fact.
Okay.
And that I think is good writing.
Okay. You recommend a few books. Hopefully, you know, listeners might be intrigued. I want to thank you for your call. I think we're going to wrap things up, I think. Do we have...
All right. Good night, Mike.
All right. Is that our last caller? Is that our last caller?
And good night, Therese.
Okay.
Good to hear you.
Awesome. Good, thank you. Good night.
Goodbye.
Is that our last, Pat?
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt book chat.
Yeah.
That was like a highbrow version of Fred from Honolulu.
Yeah, I like the high with the low.
Yeah.
The hydraulic penis and the Dalai Lama.
Oh, you made that person hang up.
Yep.
But Joe Duffy, I want to thank Joe Duffy.
Thanks, yes, Joe Duffy.
Of the Peaceful Solution Show on WFMU, heard in the overnight from Friday to Saturday, 3 to 6 a.m. Right, Joe? 3 to 6 a.m.?
3 to 6 a.m.
Peaceful Solutions. And some. I don't think it screened. What? Oh, my phone.
Your phone.
Oh, okay. And so, also, Therese is back on FMU.
Yes.
And we should plug the Therese show.
Sunday nights from 10 to midnight.
Yeah. And that's every call.
Oh, that's earlier than you used to be, right? Or, well, yeah, you came earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be midnight. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That was a little too late for me.
Okay, yeah. I don't know how you did it.
I don't know how
you did
it either.
that was a crazy schedule.
It was. Uh-huh. That was. I didn't do too well on Mondays.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I think we all learned a lot tonight.
I think we did.
It's always education. Thanks, Therese.
Thanks, Mike.
Pat.
Thanks,
Joe Duffy.
Thanks,
everybody. I got a song queued up for the end, which is actually, if you'll allow me to play, it's some friends of mine who put out an album.
Okay.
And to get some airplane. I think I got a spin on your show the other night.
It did.
They're called Soft Center, and the album's called No Pattern. And this features my friends Gina and Sean. Sean played in the Prove It All Night house band.
Oh, yes.
And he also plays with Mike Kroll and a bunch of people. And Gina's an amazing songwriter, and this is her voice on the song that we're going to go out to. This has been fun. It's been Depravity's Rainbow. This was a fill-in that was a go-to fill-in on the FMU years of the best show, and everybody's been wanting it back, so it came back tonight. And I want to thank our hosts, AP Mike and Therese, and our call screener, Joe Duffy. And I want to thank you, the listener.
Yes.
And the caller. And the best show will hopefully be back after the Tom Rano exile. I think he'll hopefully be back either next week or the week after. Stay tuned to the best show Twitter account and Instagram for more. And we'll see you guys when we see you. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
for you too.
No, no, sorry, I miscued it. I had it cued so well, but it was in 45 because of that dang, what was it?
Hank Four.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, I'll edit this out. I'm the editor, right? Okay, no one will even hear this. It's great. Good night.
Objects say no, flat out refuse. The days are growing dim. So you can track, stay home, stay in. Each circle pole it near. The ocean made you dear. The days now grow. So snuff out each new spark. So snuff out each new spark. It's time, come clean, come home, clean house. Cover the bed, the chairs, the couch. Each day it grows more dull. So you learn to sleep through every low. Each evening passes slow. Object. Refuse, say no. The light is growing less. Each night's long low. The days now grow in dark. So snuff out each new spark. So snuff out each new spark.